tuna. He keeps getting bigger and bigger. His hips are this wide.
I hate to tell you, your nephew's
you guys are live. Fat.
Oh, it's awful.
You guys are live right now. Oh. Don't say anything fucked up.
Don't this is, say anything jacked
this
up.
This episode.
We're talking about Brian's cousin.
No, yeah,
great
exactly.
story for you.
Don't say anything fucked up about your cousin. He's just a kid. Jesus
no,
Christ.
No, I will, though. I will.
This episode of the Joe Rogan Experience is brought to you by Nature Box. Brian, have you ever had delicious and nutritious Nature Box?
Not only that, they sponsor the 10-Minute Podcast.
No
Nature Box.
Way, dude.
It's actually pretty good.
It's great. Yeah. You can order. What I like about Nature Box is that you can order specific stuff. Like, I have them send me all gluten-free stuff. So I got like these sriracha cashews.
Oh,
they're devastating.
Yes, they are.
And then there's almonds, these blueberry almonds. Holy shit. And they're fucking guilt-free. There's a lot of stuff that you can get that, you know, is more like pretzel-y stuff that probably isn't the best for you. But what they always have is no hydrogenated oils, no artificial colors, no artificial flavors, no artificial preservatives.
No trans fats.
Yeah, no trans fats. And it's really healthy stuff as far as snacks go. And depending on how you choose, you can get it very healthy. Big Island pineapple is another great one that I love. They're dried pineapples.
Yeah.
That's it. It's just slices of delicious dried pineapple, basically guilt-free.
It's delicious.
Awesome stuff. And they'll ship anywhere, free shipping, anywhere in the United States. Nature Box is just a great alternative to, like, if you're working in an office, you don't want to be forced to deal with the vending machine food.
It's not that expensive either. I think you can get you can get 20 bags for $40 or something.
Well, whatever it is, you can get 50% off your first box by going to naturebox.com/Rogan. That's naturebox.com/Rogan. They also have these chocolate almond things. They're just fucking deadly.
I want some of those
Woo!
Now.
I ate them all. Damn. I ate everything. I have a new package that just came.
I just saw this. I'm about to break into the pistachios.
No, you can get those. Eat those. Those are Nature Box.
Yeah, they are.
Anyway, naturebox.com/Rogan. Go there and save 50% off your first box. We're also brought to you by LegalZoom. LegalZoom is a way of handling all sorts of things online that you would normally have to go to a law office, meet with a lawyer, and pay a fuckload of money, most likely. Instead, you could do it at home, drunk and naked. You could be having sex, and you could do it with a laptop. You could be giving head, if you're so inclined. You could give head and then come up for air every now and then and fill out some forms.
I heard about LegalZoom after they sponsored my podcast, but way too late because I set up an LLC. It cost me $1,300, where you could have done it for like
$100.
Yeah, $100 on LegalZoom.
You can do it for $99. You can set up, incorporate or set up an LLC for $99. Someone told me you could do that free online, or that is like a bunch of steps that you have to go through.
Yeah,
well, LegalZoom makes it way more convenient. It's just $100, you fucking weirdos. I get it. I get it. It's a lot of money. But it's way better than going to a law office. Also, and by the way, I don't think it's true. I don't think you can do it for free. I think you have to do a bunch of different things. The way LegalZoom has it set up, it's way easier.
Cost me a fortune.
They got, first of all, they got an A+ from the Better Business Bureau. I love shit like that. So you don't have to worry about it. Plus, I know a bunch of dudes. Aubrey formed Onnit, the first LLC for Onnit. That was all done through LegalZoom. Mm. Brian, when he incorporated Death Squad, that was done through LegalZoom. 9 out of 10 customers would recommend LegalZoom after they used it. But you know what that means? That means it's awesome because we all know 1 out of 10 people are just whiny cunts that just complain about everything. So if you get 9 out of 10, that's beautiful. It's if you really bad. Can make... 90%.
Because everybody on the internet loves to find anything that's wrong with anything.
Oh, God. If the aliens come and read our YouTube comments, they're going to get right back in their fucking spaceship and fly away. They're like, this is just a cauldron of cunts.
This place sucks.
This is a cauldron of cunts. Anyway, with LegalZoom, you can get a last will for $69. And also, they can provide you with a third-party attorney if you panic. That's a big one. So if you're in the middle of filling all this stuff, it's like, oh, I can't fucking do it. They can hook you up with an independent attorney, so someone can, figure it out for you.
That is really cool, man.
Yeah, LegalZoom is not a law firm, but they can connect you with a third-party attorney and provide you with self-help services. Anyway, go there, use the code word Rogan in the referral box at checkout, and save yourself some cash, son. Get it all together, bitch.
A last will for $69, that's so depressing.
It's all depressing. Death is depressing, but yet inevitable. And so the stunt, the sun itself... has a billion years left, and then we're fucked.
There you go.
Anyway, whatever, whatever. Onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T. If you've never, have you used any of the Onnit shit? Have we sent you anything?
No, dude, I don't have any primal bells. How am I getting my primal bells?
Give me an address. I'll have it all sent to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in, man.
Yeah, please, give me an address. We have this new thing, these Warrior Bars. They're by the same people that made the Tonka Bar, which is a Native American recipe of, without any preservatives whatsoever, mixing cranberries and buffalo meat. Each one of them has 14 grams of protein. It's no nitrates, no artificial flavors, no antibiotics, no nonsense.
I'll be honest, I ate four grams of fat. I ate it, and it was so good.
It's fucking delicious.
I got to be honest. I feel like I'm in the Truman Show right now.
Why's that?
Have you ever seen that with Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
With the product placement?
But this isn't product placement.
No, I'm with you, man. You guys love this stuff.
It's fucking delicious.
I've never had it.
What happened in the Truman Show with product placement?
The Truman Show where the whole world's watching Jim Carrey?
Oh,
you know what
right.
I'm talking about?
It's
the cameras?
That's with the one where he didn't know.
Try the Nestle Quick. It's delicious and refreshing. And he's like, all right, I'm headed to the store.
Well, that was like he didn't know, right?
He had no idea that he was the show. Yeah, since a baby.
I didn't see that.
It's a mind fuck,
really?
Man. Oh. It's a mind fuck. You remember that Matthew McConaughey show? It was a movie where they followed him around with a camera, and he became really famous and became like this huge disaster.
It was called what the hell is it called?
What was it called? EdTV. EdTV. EdTV, I mean, that's standard operational procedure on reality shows now. Like, those are real.
And I watch every one of them.
This was before any of that shit.
Tell them your favorite show.
I mean, I don't know where to begin.
Naked and Afraid.
I love Naked and Afraid.
I love Naked and Afraid.
Yeah.
Let me just get through this Onnit thing real quick.
Sorry.
I'll send you some shit, man. I'll send you, and I'll send you some Primal Bells.
You got to hook up with the Bulletproof Coffee because I make it myself.
You can make it yourself.
That's what I've been doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean, like, hook up with what? With the kind of coffee?
Yes.
See, we found out. This is, we actually
You're talking about the fungus?
On it.
And it came out some bullshit?
Yeah, well, this is the deal. All right. I don't know. I don't want to speculate anybody's intentions. So what I'll just tell you is the absolute facts. There have been cases where mycotoxins became an issue with coffee. Those cases, most of them have been resolved by going through these mycotoxin issues and then rigorous testing and then figuring out ways to not provide an environment where mycotoxins can flourish.
It's mostly ochratoxin A.
Yeah.
And homeboy heard that and took it and ran with it.
Exactly.
Good for you.
Here's the issue. He brought me in, unfortunately. I mean, because he was, you know, saying it on my podcast and I repeated it without any research. It used to be an issue. And it can be an issue still if someone is not preparing coffee correctly. But it's like when you buy really good coffee, like there's a company called Rusty's Hawaiian. Delicious, delicious coffee. Their bags are rated by like coffee connoisseurs, where professional coffee graders that will taste the coffee and check out various beans and different roasts, and then they grade it. But they also test it for mycotoxins.
Yes,
like if you have fungus in your fucking coffee, you get a really low score.
That's
hurts
frowned
your score.
Upon. I don't want fungus on my roast.
They figured out a long time ago. First of all, this is where it gets really weird. That coffee was originally established in Ethiopia, which is a dry climate, and all these mycotoxin issues happened when they started moving them out of Ethiopia, put them in other places where there's moisture, exactly, growing them in different places.
That's why California wines have very few mycotoxins, especially ochratoxin A, which is the big one,
right?
Because it's so dry, so they actually have very, very little of that, very little issues with that.
At all. Isn't that interesting? And corn as well, corn. You know, there's a bunch of different mycotoxins. That's the point. If you buy really good coffee, which is most of what you buy, most likely you're not going to have any issues whatsoever. If you do have issues, according to Dr. Rhonda Patrick, she was saying that even like above threshold doses of these mycotoxins might even provide a beneficial reaction by your body, that your body reacting to these mycotoxins that aren't necessarily like really bad for you in small doses, that your body might actually energize its immune system in response. So it might have some sort of a corresponding positive effect. This is obviously layman's terms. I'm a retard. I don't really even know what I just said. But according to her, these things make sense.
These things.
So what I'm saying is you can make that style of coffee, like coffee with grass-fed butter and MCT oil. You can make that with almost any good coffee.
And you're blending it?
This stuff that you're drinking right here is that.
Delicious. I don't ever blend mine. I just black coffee, scoop of butter.
That's cool,
MCT
too.
MCT and stir it.
That's fine, too. I mean, it's a little more chunky.
A little stevia.
Yeah.
I'm used to the packets though. This bottle.
Oh yeah,
I put a little too much in.
Yeah, it'll
pure
jack you.
Kool-Aid. Pure
it'll
Kool-Aid.
Jack you. Yeah. If you only want like a mist of the stevia.
What is stevia?
It's a plant extract. Zero sugar. You don't have to worry about it. No
doesn't
grams of sugar.
Doesn't change your blood sugar levels?
No, nope. Not at all. I mean, wow. It's probably, like all things, not great if you ate it all day. Yeah. You know, even plants.
I eat it all day. I feel
strychnine.
Great.
Strychnine.
Plants are toxic. I mean, plants create a lot of their own toxicity.
Well, that's one of the way they keep people from eating them. Yeah, discourage predation.
When people are, like, juicing lots and lots of leafy greens.
I also do that.
Forget about the rest of the commercial. Let's just keep going. We don't have to play music. Fuck it.
Just
I like throwing one out like that.
Why not?
It's over. Honest.com. Use the code word Rogan. Save some money.
Yep.
Yeah. So this is the point, is that these toxins may or may not be an issue in some coffee today. They were at one point in time. But the coffee experts aren't worrying about that.
Right.
When you talk to coffee experts, they're all worried about taste and flavor and where they're growing. And they're also worried about the fact that the climate in Ethiopia apparently is deteriorating because of global warming. And they think within the next 50 years, like a good percentage of these species that only exist in Ethiopia will be extinct.
Wow.
Yeah. Because there's all of the coffee in the world comes from Ethiopia originally.
My brother told me about this and was like, hey, you realize in 50 years, coffee is going to be no longer.
Yeah.
And I freaked out.
Well, it'll be coffee.
I started storing coffee.
It'll be in Latin America.
Yeah. Costa Rica, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't it also matter, like, when you roast the bean versus when you drink it?
That's another thing that people had with this upgraded coffee. Although it's, you know, it's very successful. It sells very well for whatever reasons. So it's hard to keep on the shelf. So it's constantly moving. So you're getting fresh coffee when you're buying it.
Yeah.
Caveman Coffee roasts it when you order it. If you order Caveman Coffee,
that's
like when
Keith
you
Jardine,
place,
right?
Yeah, Tate that's Fletcher Keith Jardine guys? And Tate Fletcher. And really good coffee and tested mycotoxin free. 100%.
Wow.
They tested it. They went through. They're getting everything single source from a grower. They know the guy. The guy's family lives in South America and he lives in Albuquerque. So they travel back and forth to the farm. They know exactly where it comes from. It's like as legit single source as you can get.
And Keith Jardine's a badass.
He's a great
coffee.
Sweetie.
One
he's just a great
ever.
Guy.
Yes.
And he was a hell of a fighter. You know, and he still wants to go at it again. He's thinking
one
about
more time,
one
right?
more time for Albuquerque when they have a.
You train with him for a long time, right, Brendan?
Long time, yeah. Really good friend.
He's an awesome guy. Just couldn't be a cooler guy. And he's, you know, doing really well with this Caveman Coffee Company. He's just, him and Tate are big coffee banana heads. Tate never goes anywhere without a fucking container of coffee. Like everywhere
really?
He goes, he carries a thermos.
He loves his coffee.
Loves it. Always has. Ever since I've known him.
I had a guy on my podcast. What the hell? I can't remember. Sorry. He wrote a book called What White People Know and What White People Do. He started as a blog. And he said, one thing about white people, they are into their coffee, man.
Love it.
Like crazy.
I love it. My coach, Tony Jeffries, was like, you're the only guy I know who drinks coffee in between rounds. I'll get a big cup of coffee.
That's hilarious.
That's wild.
You know, Tito told me that the coffee fucks with your cardio. He says he doesn't drink any, he doesn't take any caffeine. He said it fucks with your cardio.
You know, I've heard different. Yeah. I've heard different. Now, if you're right, Faber says that, I'm going to listen.
No shit,
but if
right?
Tito Ortiz tells me that.
I was with Tito 2 days ago in a bar by accident, Lower East Side, and it was his cheat day, and he was drinking a Shirley Temple, like literally in this really girly glass. So here's this giant dude drinking a very, very pink drink. I was like, that's hilarious, man.
He had tremendous cardio. Tito
he
was
had good cardio.
A lot of dudes
but listen,
cardio.
If Tank Abbott's strength coach tells me not to drink caffeine, I'm not going to listen. You know what I'm saying? there's certain people you need to listen to.
Yeah, you're
right.
You
got to do
favors.
What works for you, man.
His cardio is
insane. Crazy.
That fight where – who was the fight where the guy got on his back within, like, the first minute of the first round? Like, there was, like, some crazy
right
scramble.
Away, right? Not
really
McDonald,
good.
Right?
I want to say Abel Trujillo, but that's obviously not him because Abel Trujillo is the badass welterweight. That name is stuck in my head. Well, let's just look it up.
Yeah, Uriah, the guy got right away, right? And they're like, this is exactly where Uriah doesn't want to be.
Is so
it
tough.
Couldn't go
he's
any
so
worse.
Tough.
He's been done it right, you know?
Yeah. Like, did you see that Abel Trujillo Jamie Varner fight?
Yes.
That was fucking insane. What a crazy slugfest, slobber knocker. Oh my God. I don't know why Abel Trujillo's name was coming into my mind. I got to pull up this dude's name to find out why that was. Oh, Yuri Alcantara. So it was just another cool name.
Yuri
didn't make any sense.
Yeah, Brian Callen isn't it really? It's too much of a.
But the pace that Uriah put on that Yuri Alcantara guy.
That's wish I was a little guy. If I was little, I mean, I feel like I should be a member of Team Alpha Male. I love long distance running. I love eating healthy. I love dieting. I want to be a small guy.
Well, you're very fit too for a heavyweight. You have like some pretty extreme endurance for a heavyweight. Mm-hmm. Do you say that like what's going on today, like with a guy like Travis Brown or with guys like John Jones or yourself? You're getting a lot of people that were athletes in other sports that were like high level athletes and then transitioned over into fighting. So in the beginning, you're seeing like they're learning, they're really good athletes. So they move quicker than most people. They usually have a little bit more physical explosion and power than most people, but then it takes them a while to get all the techniques down.
Yeah.
But now we're seeing like a lot of those dudes.
Yeah. But this is that we're seeing
OSP is another one.
Yeah, I wouldn't say a lot. I think we're seeing a number of them starting to transition.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I've gone with tons of NFL guys, NBA. When someone's trying to hit you in the face and you're just not – that's why it takes so long, I think, for these athletes to adapt to fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Because getting hit in the face, it's just not either you were born where you're like, yeah, this is cool. I can live with this. I can learn to get out of the way and put my life on the line. And then usually when guys are that good of athletes, like, forget this.
Yeah.
Forget this, man. Forget this.
Isn't it interesting?
I think you look like at the UFC and guys are starting to come around, but people think it's going to be, in 10 years we have all these freak athletes. You're not, man. Because these freak athletes, it's very rare you get a freak athlete who's like, yeah, I want to go fight another killer in a steel cage.
That's a very interesting point. It's a very interesting point when there's options too, right?
Especially when you're that good of an athlete.
And you're making way more money.
Well,
not necessarily. You know, it depends on what level you're fighting in the UFC, I mean, if you're a guy.
People say about this all the time, like, oh, you guys don't get paid. I make a great living, man.
Yeah, it's not true.
Well, you got NFL players signing.
First of all,
no. Hold up. You're talking about the exception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I make more than a lot of.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Well, here's what you have to understand. When you look at pay, okay, like there's a pay that's listed. Like as far as like the purse that you
from
get
from the commission
after a fight.
They list out,
there's that. That doesn't take into account a lot of factors. There's a lot of things that they want to remain private. So you're not just getting paid that amount. Some people are. Some people are just getting paid that amount. But
guys, you don't know that probably should be getting paid that amount.
Right. But when a guy's selling tickets. Someone is a big name fighter. There's a lot of factors in there.
But also in NFL
sponsorships and all that.
Well, incentives, pay per view, pieces of pay per view.
For sure.
Like George St. Pierre was making $5 million a fight.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's making a lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
And he's got sponsors. He's had Gatorade, all this other stuff, all this other revenue coming in. I mean, George St. Pierre made a fuck load of money fighting. So. Maybe he didn't make as much as Floyd Mayweather, but guess what? Floyd Mayweather is one, a bigger star, two, a better promoter. He's a fucking. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what a guy.
And,
yeah, there's that. Well, so is the UFC now. The UFC is pretty worldwide now, but it doesn't. There could be a spectacular fight in the UFC, a crazy epic fight that everybody wants to see that could do 1.5 million, 2 million pay per view buys. That's what Floyd Mayweather has done. Mm. It is possible that could happen. When you think about before Floyd Mayweather, it's hard to find like a guy since Oscar De La Hoya, maybe Manny Pacquiao, a guy who can do like. There's only a few of those guys.
Right.
Like everybody wants to say, oh, in boxing they make so much more money.
No, there's about five of them.
A few of those
there's
guys.
About five. You're talking about the exception.
Yeah.
People always refer to the exception.
Right.
Mayweather, Pacquiao are the exception. Look at the if you watched Pacquiao's fight this last fight with Bradley, look at the undercard. It was pure shit. It was horrible. Those guys are scrapping.
I thought it was a good fight.
You thought the undercard was? Pacquiao-Bradley was good.
Pacquiao-Bradley was a good
fight. That was a really good
fight. But there were some good fights in the undercard. It wasn't bad. I enjoyed it. I mean,
who was your favorite on the undercard?
I'd have to look at it.
Exactly.
You.
That's my
Rios.
Point. That's my point. That's the problem with boxing. No one gives a flying hoot about the undercard. No one gives a shit.
Right.
Because you don't know them. These guys are super talented, and they're not making any money.
Yeah, but at a certain point in time, here it is. At a certain point in time, there's only so many fucking room for so many fighters you can keep in your head.
But boxing?
Or anything in your head.
But boxing? Yeah. I mean, let's go at heavyweight especially. Yeah, listen, Klitschko could probably deliver pizza next door and no one's going to ask for an autograph.
Isn't that weird?
That's crazy, right?
He was
so dominant, that's your heavyweight champ, no one gives a shit.
That's so weird.
That's so funny. People were tweeting about the undercrowd. They were tweeting, being defensive about the quality that the...
the HBO commentators were being defensive about the quality of the undercard. So maybe you're right. I just tuned in, and I may or may not have been high as fuck. So no, I had a good time. I
but why, is boxing, this is why my, did boxing fall by the wayside? Is it just,
it isn't
just
really.
It hasn't. That's a misconception. Okay. It hasn't fallen by the wayside.
It's just there's only a few guys that can sell big pay-per-view.
Right.
Like, maybe, you know, there's maybe like four or five guys that
they
can
don't,
sell big
They don't pay-per-view. Tell anyone's story. Look at the UFC. There's a countdown every damn Tuesday, Wednesday on Billy. Billy, you know, Billy's mom passed away and he decided to turn to fighting. I mean, the UFC does the best job of marketing its guys.
There was that one fight that was actually really good. Vargas versus that Russian cat.
Yeah, that was a good fight.
Yeah.
They were both undefeated.
That was a good fight. That was a very good
Again,
fight.
Again, though, we're talking about that dude versus this Russian dude.
These
That's
Russian
the
bad
problem.
Motherfuckers,
oh
man.
My God. Provodnikov and those
lot
guys.
A beast Russians that are making their way into MMA now, making their way into boxing now. It's really fascinating how many badass Russians
Siberians
there are.
Siberians just living just in Siberia.
Animals. Tough. Fucking animals.
Oh. Scary, really.
Well, it's also scary. The epigenetics. Oh. You know, they're saying that now, that people who have had family members, this was something that's passed down through sperm, they believe traumatic events through your ancestry are passed down through sperm.
Wow.
And that people who are
your
the
DNA
children
shifts or something, or?
Yeah, people who are the children's children and children of people who have survived traumatic disorders or traumatic incidents were more likely to develop all sorts of mental problems, were more likely to be like schizophrenic, like all these issues, mental issues that they could directly correlate possibly to the trauma that their ancestors have established.
Wow.
Now think about how screwed you are. Wow. if you're little Kenny growing up in Malibu and you want to be a fighter, good luck competing with those guys over in Siberia.
Yeah, no.
I'm gonna turn them like, nah, you're fucked, man.
Yeah,
just forget it.
They're just
right?
hungry. No, you're good. They have different jaws. They're just different look in their
you're
eyes.
You're playing grab ass with freaking Bruce Jenner. Meanwhile, this guy's in Siberia freaking
you're playing
wrestling,
grab ass with Bruce Jenner.
Wrestling polar bears.
That is hilarious.
Who's that? Who's that? Golovkin? Golovkin can just
Triple G?
Oh
what? He's the next big
animal.
Star.
He's an animal.
He's the next big star.
He's a fucking animal. He
what
really is.
Those body shots. He's just
no one wants to fight him. I'll tell you what. I'm excited for the Sergio Martinez and Miguel
That's
Cotto.
That's a guy from Argentina.
Yeah. Miguel Cotto has been looking very good in his last few fights. And Martinez is almost 40 at a certain point. And with his style, very different style than Bernard Hopkins. You know, Bernard Hopkins, 48 fucking years old.
That's crazy.
Still outboxing the shit out of young
Sergio's, so Sergio's all about footwork.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, when that footwork goes away, he's going to be in trouble.
And his left. He's got a brutal left hand. And it's he comes in with everything. He's so good at his movement and his in-and-out movement. He uses that same in-and-out movement to land
but
devastating
this bombs. Is what we're talking about off-air. So he's almost 40. He played soccer almost all his life and then got into boxing, I think, at 28, 29.
What? No.
Yeah, multi-time world champ. No matter when you start, whether you're Tito Ortiz or Vitor Belfort starting at 18, 19-year-old, or you're Sergio Martinez starting at 30, no matter when you start, your clock is ticking. You have this amount of fights in you. No matter when. I mean, guys drag it on, you know, via Fedor or Krokop. Guys are dragging on, but you're only going to be in your prime, and you're going to have these many great fights in you. It doesn't matter when you start.
Yeah, I was talking to Eve Edwards about that. He's 37 now, and he was saying one of the frustrating things for fighters, I think, is that you learn the art. You continue to learn. There's so much to learn, but you continue to learn. And then you get to be 37, 38, and you may be a step slower, but you know so much more. So you just want to try it out. But the game is also timing and speed and power.
And guess what? That's why TRT came about. Because those 37, 38-year-olds are like, dang, I know so much, man. But my body's not the same. Let me talk to this doctor over here. Now we have an epidemic. Now we got Vitor
Belfort.
Epidemic. It's not an epidemic. It's an epidemic.
It's an epidemic. No, you're right, though.
But now we got Vitor Belfort in Brazil spinning back, kicking people's faces off.
Mm-hmm.
In Brazil, all TRT'd up.
Joe Silva said it best. He goes, it's like Vitor downloaded a Taekwondo black belt. It's like all of a sudden he's throwing wheel
For
kicks.
Real?
Like,
yeah. We've never
the
seen
guy
it.
Guy never threw a wheel kick and then knocked out Luke Rockhold with it.
Crazy.
I mean, Luke fucking Rockhold is a beast.
Beast. Yeah.
mean, for him to do what he
with
did.
Ease, yeah. With ease. And then Bisbing? What?
I think you nailed it. What you nailed is exactly what it is. It's that these guys get older and they get so much more experience and so much more knowledge, but that's the nature balance. Nature gives you that experience and knowledge.
So you can teach.
It's like the two old
experience is priceless.
It's like the two old buffalo. Yeah. Or the old buffalo and the young.
The bull and the calf.
Yeah, I don't know this.
The bull and the calf goes.
Wait, is it buffaloes or bulls?
It's the young bull and the old bull. And the young bull
it could
says,
be buffalo.
Let's go down there and fuck.
Let's go buffalo.
Yeah. He goes. Let's go down there and fuck all those. Fuck one of those cows.
No. You fucked it up already. Listen, this is what he says. He says,
is this let's, for real?
Listen. He goes, let's run down there and fuck one of those calves. Right. And the old bull says, let's walk down there and fuck them all.
Yeah, all right. This is the other thing, though. When these, I get it. Take it in.
You're a young bull.
You corrected me, and you were still going to fuck it up, you fuck.
This is the thing, though. Vitor Belfort and those guys, the sport wasn't as big when they were superstars, right?
Right.
And now they're like, whoa, the sport's huge. I can stick around and take this stuff and make all this money and look be relevant. You know what I'm saying?
There's Vitor. Show that again, Jamie.
It's on a GIF. It'll start
over.
Look at this.
Boom!
Oh! It's not just doing that. It's doing that to Luke Rockhold.
Who's better looking than Brendan Schaub, maybe?
Easy. Now, let me tell
He's
you something.
He's got muscles on his teeth. He really does.
Let me tell you this, though. Luke Rockhold flew for 17 hours from San Jose, California, showed up on a Saturday night, got wheel kicked in the face, and jumped back on a plane.
That's
got
to suck.
It does suck.
Can you tell?
Yeah. I fought Nogueira in Brazil.
Can you tell Joe the Nogueira story about the other stuff? Are you allowed to? About
which one?
Money, what other stuff?
Money, jersey.
Oh, yeah, for
what?
Sure.
Tell
what?
Them
what? Tell us.
Is there a secret?
Not good really. Story. For sure, quit eating those nuts, because that's fucking
but
up,
I wanna,
that's fucking up my whole game.
Yeah, stop all that. Before we tell any story, I want to go back to this TRT thing, because we can't just gloss over it like that.
It's a huge subject.
I think you nailed it, though, too, and you did, too, talking about Eve Edwards' feelings of all the knowledge he's acquired. That does seem to be like nature's balancing act, right?
Yeah.
Like, nature doesn't want you to have all that knowledge and all that and live forever. It's like,
well, it's like God saying, oh, you got it? Cool. Oh, your body sucks. You can't do it anymore.
Well, it's sort of like the beauty of everything is that it's temporary. Like, what's our favorite thing? Let's be realistic. Sex, right? Most people's favorite thing is sex. When you're really horny and you're having sex with someone who you really like having sex with, it's one of the greatest things on earth.
Right.
One of the greatest things about it is you know it's not going to last. You got look. If you're a stud,
what if it did though?
If you're great, you'd be bored of it.
Well, that's why guys do drugs and stuff. See, this is the problem.
Yeah, but those people are freaks, and they're just fucking. Their pupils are this big, and they never open the fucking curtains. Those people are
but
creepy.
It's the same concept with sex. He's like, man, you know what would make this even better? If we did Molly on this.
Yeah.
Well, those
same
are the people
difference
that,
like,
but I'm cool, different. I'm fighting, but you know what would be better?
Yeah.
Is if I did steroids.
But this is a good point, because the Molly thing, if you do it on Molly, when all that stuff wears off, which it will wear off eventually, you're fucking wrecked.
Wrecked.
Because you're in debt. You're like a kid with a student loan. Like, you started out of the gate. Like,
you're like Snuffleupagus on Sesame Street, just super down.
Way more.
Really down.
You paid way more than you have.
It's like seeing when you see those people who are just like, they're 53, hanging around a coffee shop with a ponytail, and they don't really have a job. They're trying to get things done. You're like, oh, you had a really good time for 15 years. Like,
maybe. Well,
that's the same with fighting.
I mean,
you'll meet some fighters. I'll meet some fighters who are so punchy, and they're maybe 40, 45.
Yeah.
For 15 years, this guy was the man. I wanted to be him. Now I look at him, I'm like, dude, you make me never want to fight again. What were you doing?
Do you have a number in your head where, like, you're or a place in your head where you're going to reach where you're like, that's it? Whether it's an age number or whether it's a physical number, is there, like, a feeling that you're going to have when you know when to hang it up?
I think you know.
But do you? Because
do
that
I,
seems
I don't.
To be the problem.
People ask me this now. People, you know, when do you think, you know? I'd probably say I have a good 5 years left. Especially the way I train.
Right.
Like, Brian, you know, I don't have an off season. I'm in shape year round. I train nonstop year round.
Do you do that to continue with your improvement, or do you also do that in case someone calls, like in case you get a last minute call?
Nope,
or
just to get better.
Just to get better.
Just to get better.
Continue your improvement.
The only reason.
Yeah.
You're
so
always
it's all
training. He's always training.
Well, hey man, that's the right attitude to have in the hurt business. You know, you can't be casual
Dude,
about
there
this.
There are monsters out there.
And I just called out Mark Hunt. I just called out Mark Hunt. You try and listen to this. He talks shit to me on Twitter at 10 o'clock at night, which is whatever time in New Zealand. It's 10 o'clock at night. I read it. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm watching Naked and Afraid or Teen Mom or some bullshit, right? I'm like, whatever. Sitting there, it's just killing me. I'm like, you know what? Fuck this guy. Get back on there. I talk shit to him. He bites. We're going back and forth. Finally, it was almost like, you know, like butter, you know, it just bam. Like, next thing I know, I had him agree to a winner-takes-all fight, and we're fighting in August, winner-takes-all. Mark Hunt, Brendan Schaub, main event.
You guys are having a winner-takes-all fight?
It was my idea.
So how does that work, like, financially, like, as far as, like, with the UFC?
Does the UFC won't sanction it.
Okay, so they you won't have sanction to pay that. Him your purse when it's
well,
over?
He's going to pay me his purse, but yes.
Well, okay.
Yes.
That's what I meant.
Yes, there
I
you
was
go.
Just... You know, it's like to say, like, Mike and I, you know, it's just the proper way.
He's going to pay me his purse. But the thing is, you get all hyped up. I get done with that, sitting in bed. My heart's going a million miles an hour. I just called out the, whatever, number 5-6 heavyweight in the world, the hardest hitter in the division, and it's a winner-takes-all fight. Not an ounce of sleep. Woke up at, you know what I'm saying, 7 a.m., went to practice.
No pressure. No pressure.
That was a Wednesday night. And you want to be a UFC fighter? Fuck.
Yeah, the pressure is probably alien to most people.
It's
they couldn't
insane.
Even imagine.
Fight week? What? Fight week?
Depression.
You think about all the other avenues you could have gone down to avoid jumping into that cage, for sure.
When you
Everything goes through your mind.
You mean all the other avenues in life, like what you could have done?
Yeah, for sure. I should be married with kids. I could be wearing a suit and tie. I'm a double major from University of Colorado. I could be doing this. I should have done this. I could have done this. It's
when
weird,
is that,
man.
When does that go away? When does that go away?
Man, probably right when I get in the cage. When I hit the crowd, I'm cool. In the back, I'm like, dang. What are we doing?
So once you hit the crowd, then you like it's on. You're
once
in its on
crowd,
mode,
yep,
and
yep.
Your body can relax, saying at least it's going to get a release from all this
exactly.
tension.
Exactly. Yep.
Mm. Yeah. Isn't that what it is? It's like once the first round starts, people would think like, God, it must be scary to fight. But I would imagine that the most brutal thing is just getting
the
there.
Build-up. The
build-up.
Oh, when you're fighting, you know, my last fight, I was the co-main event third fight in Toronto, UFC 165 against Mitrione. I mean, I didn't fight till 9 o'clock at night. You're waiting around all day thinking about the fight.
And when do you eat?
It's tough for me to eat because my nerves. That's why everyone's like, "Oh, Schaub got to 205." Listen, I'm 252 pounds right now. The only reason I weigh in so light is because I can't eat. The week of the fight, I can't eat. So that's why I weigh in so light.
Wow, that's crazy.
I love Brendan because he's so honest about it. He calls out Alistair Overeem on Twitter, and he's like he stops and he goes, "Yeah, God told him." And then he's like, I gotta go train.
I'll hit the ground running, man.
Well, you—that's the
fear is a good thing for a fighter, though, isn't it? Yeah.
So is honesty. Yeah. Honesty, fear.
People all the time, like, oh man, you Chuck Liddell's not like that. Brock, hate to tell you, my man, your favorite fighter is just scared to admit it. I'm not scared to admit. You know, people are terrified back there. You're going to fight another trained killer inside the octagon, basically in your underwear, in front of millions of people. Millions of people.
Yeah.
You're going to be a little scared. I hate to tell you that. I hate to tell you that, man.
Of
course. How could you think that you wouldn't, like, your fucking cool hand Luke? You're just going to strut in there
Anyone
with a smile on your
cool
face.
Anyone who acts cool is a good actor.
Hicks and Gracie said there's a close relationship between fear and intelligence. And he said anybody who's not afraid at all is I always go, I shake my head. I go, that guy's not very smart.
I'll tell you what. Kenny told me this. Tough fighters don't last. Smart fighters do. And he's right, man.
Yeah. He's totally right.
He's so
Bernard
bright.
Hopkins. Back to Bernard Hopkins.
Right?
48 years old in boxing, and he talks clear. You know? I mean,
so incredible.
Unheard of.
Doesn't have any issues.
Incredible.
Very rarely gets hit clean. Very rarely. He might get hit clean two or three times.
Floyd Mayweather the same way, right?
Very rarely gets hit. Last guy to hit him clean was Sugar Shane Mosley.
Wow.
Sugar Shane Mosley rocked him with the right
That's
hand.
Right.
He covered up, recovered, then boxed his
face. That Instagram of Sugar Shane between you and Tim Tebow, he looked like you guys won him in something. Like, he's tiny.
I'll tell you what, he was a tad punchy. I'm not going to lie to you. He's a little bit punchy.
Floyd?
No, Sugar Shane.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No.
Yeah, I'm sure Sugar Shane's a little
punchy.
He's
nice
a lot
guy,
of wars.
I think
wars.
Bradley's going to be punchy. I've never seen anybody.
Bradley's going to be super
I've never
punchy.
Seen anybody take that kind of punishment.
Do you think it's worth
coming.
It, Joe?
What about the Provadnikov fight? Did you see that?
The craziest thing I've ever seen.
He fought a fucking, the craziest. Best way Max Kellerman described it, you took a Siberian caveman, thawed him out, and then put boxing gloves on him. That's what that guy was like.
Bradley had slurred speech for at least a month after.
Yeah, he talked about it after the fight.
So you guys have kids. Mm-hmm. Your kid wants to fight.
And they, and you know, most likely there's going to be some trouble down the road with his brain if he's a fighter. Mm-hmm. You say cool, you're down.
I say you do whatever you want to do. If that's what you want to do, you have to be. You can't half-ass it. You can't. I don't want my kid to half-ass it.
Well, I didn't say Lazy McGee here.
But I mean, if you want to do it, if that's what you want to do, that's what you should do. I don't think anyone should do anything other than that's.
I'll probably,
it gets to a certain point in time, look, that's what I wanted to do when I was young. Yeah. I wanted to fight. When I figured out at a certain point in time that there was no future. That's when I stopped doing it.
What
when
made
I worried
you realize,
about brain
what
damage.
What made you realize there's no future?
There was nothing in 1989. When I had my last kickboxing match, there was nothing. There was no kickboxing. Taekwondo, I couldn't respect it the way I used to respect it because I started kickboxing. And I realized
legitimate
all the holes
kickboxing
in it.
Here is what we're talking about? You started competing in it?
I fought above the waist, PKA style.
Yeah.
And then I started training Muay Thai, and then I realized like there was even more holes in the above the waist style, but above the waist PKA style, the real problem was the boxing. I had done Taekwondo for so long, like my hands were shit, and my ability to like move and throw kicks and punches together, it was all disjointed. Yep. It just wasn't the right way to do things.
Then when
so
did
I had
you
a
get
rework.
Into when did you get into jiu-jitsu?
96. Oh, it was man. Yeah. It was
Joe
like,
got me into jiu-jitsu.
So I went through like this period where I was training like all the time in a martial art that had all these holes in it. So I wasn't ever going to go back and compete, like try to make the U.S. Olympic team or anything like that, because I didn't feel the same way about Taekwondo. I didn't want to just do it anymore because I knew how easy it is to for a guy to just cover up and walk you down and corner you in a ring and fuck you up because you don't know how to deal with hands.
Right.
Like it's just there were so many holes in it.
Yeah.
So it's so much easier to punch you in the face when guys were throwing kicks and punches together and you didn't understand like the rhythm and the distance of punches. So when I went from that, like I had no choice. There was no options. But if there was an option, like if kickboxing paid like what boxing does, if there was a UFC option at that time, I would have had to learn grappling, so I probably still wouldn't have competed in the UFC if there was something like that. Like when I first started grappling, when I first started jiu-jitsu in 96, I was amazed at how easy it was for men to just rape me.
Oh.
Just ragdoll me, choke me, armbar me at will. Because they looked the same size as me. Like, they looked pretty similar. I looked at these people and I'd be like, well, you're not that bigger than me. Like, if
you realize how vulnerable you are.
Oh, it's disturbing.
I think fighting, like, even learning a little bit of fighting makes you more afraid, not less afraid.
More humble, for sure. Yeah. It's also, don't you feel like, out of all the pro athletes, fighters are probably the most approachable and the most down to earth.
Easy. Long shot. There's a reason why when a UFC fighter goes into an event, whether it's the ESPYs, whatever it is, all sorts of stuff, right? There can be NBA, NHL, NFL, the who's who, actors. The room wants to talk to the fighter because guess what? No one is willing to do what a fighter does. So when a famous fighter walks in the room, he's the center of the attention every time, man.
That's fascinating.
Every time.
What if there's Michael Jordan and like Uriah Faber?
Different story. Michael Jordan is stealing.
I mean, Michael Jordan's
all
a little different. You're talking now. Muhammad.
My friend just told me.
Now Muhammad Ali. Michael Jordan, I bet you Muhammad Ali is going to get some
Jordan.
Not Muhammad Ali right now, who's all
right.
Like whatever.
When he was young.
Yes.
How about, okay, let's perfect
Mike
example.
Tyson.
Mike Tyson, 86.
Mike Tyson, Mike Jordan. I bet you more people go up to Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson in 86.
I think it taps into the
caveman.
Walk
down the street and people would call their friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. It taps into the fact that there's a man in the room that can kill everybody with his bare hands.
Yeah.
And that's fascinating to men.
That's the John L. Sullivan. I can lick any man in this room.
But everyone, when you're a kid, everyone wants to be a fighter. You're fighting your brother. You're
who's
fighting your
friend. Who's the toughest kid in the neighborhood?
Yeah.
Right. What sports boiled down to the rawest element? It's like the game you're playing is let's play kill you.
Yeah, that's right.
You try to kill me, I try to kill you.
Look at football.
But some
football's
of them are a game. Some of them are
so
a game,
rough.
Right?
Yeah.
Like football's a game. Basketball's a game.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if LeBron James misses a jump shot, hey, listen, he's going to go tomorrow. If I miss the timing of Mark Hunt's left hook, listen, my jaw's going to be shattered in 30 different spots. I'm not fighting for probably a year and a half. That's the difference.
That's really not
the stakes
fun.
Are a lot higher.
Way higher.
Like, not even comparable.
Yeah, not comparable at all. You could lose 20 basketball games in a row and still go to the movies. You imagine if you lost 20 fights in a row?
You're not going to have a job.
Yeah, it'd be impossible.
And you're physically not going
to be. Well, you know, I was trying to – Eddie Bravo and I were talking about this. This is a perfect way to describe one of the great things about jiu-jitsu is think about how many times you've been tapped in your life. In jiu-jitsu, I've probably been tapped 100 times. Now, what if I had been head kicked, knocked out 100 times?
Forget it.
What if 100 times I got wheel kicked like Luke Rockhold?
Yeah.
Could you imagine a person who's
be,
been wheel kicked
be
in
dead.
The head 100
you actually
times?
Might be dead.
Yeah.
I don't think you could take full wheel kicks like that.
100 of those in your life.
You'd have some problems.
You'd have nothing left. You'd have literally nothing left. But you can do that. You can get rear naked choked 100 times in a month, and you're okay.
True.
You're going to be sore.
You're going to be sore.
But you're going to be okay. Yeah. And there's a big difference between death moves.
But this is the difference. In striking, if someone's about to blast me with the right hand, I can't tap out and be like, no, we're good, man. Yeah, you got that. You got that.
That's a good
in
point,
jiu-jitsu,
too.
If you're going against a guy who's like, if I get a hold of something, I'm going to rip your arm up.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be in trouble.
Some Paul Harris type character.
Yes, you're not going to be able to roll every day.
Right.
Yeah, that's the difference.
That's true, too. That's
in jiu-jitsu,
too.
There's a way out.
Yeah.
In jiu-jitsu, there's a white flag.
Mm-hmm.
In boxing, you know, in these other sports, there's no white flag.
That's why it's so crazy when someone doesn't use that white flag and you watch their shit get snapped.
Like Hensel.
It's like, dog, you're out for a long time.
Like Hensel Gracie, watch Sakuraba.
Break his arm. Yeah, well, that fight was over, though. How about Tim Sylvia and Frank Mir? Frank Mir snapped his forearm in half. Tim Sylvia's trying to punch him with the left.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
He knew something was wrong. But he was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to hit him with my other hand.
I didn't see that.
My God. It snapped. Like the forearm was
Herb Dean has to stop it.
Yeah.
No.
He stopped the fight. Watch. Pull that up. Boom. Frank Mir breaks Tim Sylvia's arm.
Frank Mir is so
scary. The audience didn't know what was going on, so the audience was yelling. And I had explained it to the audience.
Though.
Yeah. I had explained it. I go, watch it right here. And the audience went, oh!
You've seen so much violence.
Watch this. Watch the forearm.
Ow!
Yeah, baby.
Ow!
That's how powerful. And Herb Dean is a bad motherfucker. He's yelling, stop. He separates it, and he's like, yo, dude, your arm is broken. This fight is over.
Yo, homie, your arm.
Yeah.
No,
so during the replay, the audience was booing. They were really pissed off. I go, watch this
right here.
Boom.
Oh, my God.
Frank Mir is one of my favorites.
Yeah,
man.
My God, that was an incredible armbar. He's the only guy in the UFC, by the way, who's broken two guys' arms.
Ugh.
Two high-level world champions' arms.
Insane.
Nogueira and insane. Frank Mir.
He's
and he almost ripped Lesnar's leg apart. Lesnar had a normal-sized leg. You know, Mazzagatti fucked up, man.
Yes.
That was a bad... Lesnar was tapping, and then he tapped again. He tapped some more, and then finally, the referee stopped it.
Paul Harris style, for sure.
Oh, if Paul Harris got a hold of that, he doesn't do the straight leg locks
very
rarely.
Well, he's doing ankle locks, man, which is way more trouble.
Well, he's doing inside heel hooks. That's his favorite.
True.
He loves that inside heel hook.
True.
He did it again to somebody.
Yeah.
Paul Harris, right?
He let go. You see, everybody's saying that he doesn't let go.
They're going
to
jump on him no matter what he does. If he gets submission, they're jumping on him.
He absolutely has held submissions for too long, though.
For sure.
Absolutely. Not just once, many times. There's fights of his in Brazil where he's got a lock on a guy and he will not let go. And the referee's prying at him and he will not let go. And I don't remember if it was a choke or it was a leg lock, but he fucked that guy up.
I heard in training he's the exact same way. He only trains with his brother.
His brother,
he doesn't do that with. Everyone else, like, nah, I'm good, man. He hangs on to stuff.
That's so crazy. That's so scary, a guy who does that.
It's ridiculous.
Especially a guy who's built like that. I mean, Jesus.
It's crazy
fucking
how
Christ.
He's built.
He is the biggest 170 pounder I've ever seen.
So
ever.
Weird.
He has a smaller forehead than me. Have you ever seen him? He does. We both have time. Like my eyebrows are about to run into the side here. He's
so
very similar.
Cro-Magnon-esque.
Yeah, man.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's that guy has the best leg locks, man. His leg locks are so finishing. You know, he grabs a hold of one. It's like 9 out of 10, someone's tapping.
For sure.
Except Alan Belcher.
Belcher beat the brakes
Woo!
Off of him. Belcher beat the brakes
Not
off
only
him.
Did he do it, he like willingly went into leg lock
him,
positions because
yeah.
he worked
just,
his entire camp
it,
on defending.
Just follow it.
He just punched him in the face.
Did the right
Heavy,
thing.
Heavy, sat on top, punch, pass,
well,
punch.
Well, I should ask Alan and give props to whoever coached him on his leg locks there, but Alan Belcher is a wizard at that shit now because he prepared for that fight and did everything, every step of the way, like everything, blocked everything, knew exactly what to expect, and you can see Paul Harris is so flustered. He really didn't know what to do because Alan was like in right where he wanted in the spider web, defending everything, and then punching him in his face.
Well, Paul Harris has a little bit of issue. Like, do you remember Nate Marquardt when Nate pulled out of the leg submission? He's like, what? What? And then, bam, blast in the face.
Well, he was accusing Nate of
greasing.
He couldn't believe
that Nate got out of his.
Well,
yeah.
Nate was pretty honest about what he did. He said, I warmed up a lot because I knew the guy was he's really good at leg locks. I wanted to be nice and slippery.
Yeah.
So I sweat a lot. You're allowed to do that.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah.
There's no issue with that.
But he's like, ooh.
Yeah, he's like, what? And as he's pointing, Nate goes, kaboom.
Nate just dove on him.
It was great. Yeah.
Well, do you remember that fight? He fought Dan Miller.
And jumped up on the cage? And they're
he hit him and rocked him. And for whatever reason, decided the fight was over. So he starts celebrating.
Pars?
Yeah.
He jumps on the cage. They pull him down from the cage.
The referee's like, the fight's still on. Like, you have to keep fighting. Like, wow. What are you doing? Like,
did he end up winning?
Well, I think he won.
He won a decision.
He won.
I think
he won a decision. But it was one of the weirdest things ever.
A little embarrassing.
It's like he just decided that the referee was stopping the fight.
Real McAssel jumping up on the cage. Ah! And then they're literally grabbing his shorts being like, hey, homie, you're still going.
Pull that up. Paul Harris versus Dan Miller. Well, if you could find it, if you find the exchange, because it's so bizarre.
It's weird. He has an issue, obviously.
Well, if you read about that guy's childhood, it was one of the most horrific childhoods. Oh, that's it right there.
That's it. There he is.
Yeah, look. He walks away.
Look, he's on the cage. You have to tear him down.
Yeah, let's look at the finish again. Watch it again.
Hey, look at how muscular he is.
Hey, what was Dan Miller going to do, though?
Bring
on the
cage. All the way back to the beginning so we can see like what happened before. So he hits him. He hits him. Boom, boom. And he just got off.
Look,
he just decides.
What is that?
That's so crazy.
What is that?
He just decided like
what
that
world
it was
is
over.
He in? And then look, I love how Dan Miller's rushing over to him to grab him on the cage.
Yeah, that's
what
ridiculous.
Was he
going to
do?
Just those arms are so ridiculous. And what does he weigh in there?
185. Well, he weighed in at 185. He's probably you know 2+.
His nickname means tree stump.
Yeah,
and his now legs are like this. Yeah. Man.
170. But he had a terrible. He had a Steve Carl and his childhood. Yeah, his childhood was unbelievably horrific. I mean, he was working. Yeah, he's working on a farm when he was a little boy. They ate pig slop. Like he literally had to eat pig slop like to stay alive. He had no food when he first started training. He was just dirt poor. Like as poor as can be. Yeah. He has this big scar on his chest. Like they couldn't afford to take him to a hospital, so they glued it. They had like a giant gash on his chest, and they glued it together. True. You know, and when he was a little kid, I mean, he lived a hard, hard life.
Yeah.
Probably filled with trauma that people like us that grew up in a nice neighborhood probably could never understand.
Again, Kenny in Malibu who wants to fight.
Nah,
exactly. Man, you're screwed, bud. Because Paul Harris is super gluing his chest and ankle walking pigs when he's 8 years old.
Yeah, well, we might have been talking about that. Was that before the podcast or was it during the commercials that we were saying that? But it's that the epigenetics thing. The scientists have proven that fear and memory can be inherited via sperm.
I didn't know that. When did they?
It's been a while, but there's papers that have been published on it now. Apparently,
that's crazy.
Researchers began testing the pups of traumatized dads for startle response to different smells. The acetophenone stimulus had a big effect, which was not seen in the controls. To emphasize here, these pups never actually learned any previous foot shock trials to the acetophone, that the acetophone was bad news. I guess that was
what
they used.
It makes sense evolutionarily, though, because remember when Steve... Yeah, because Steve Rinella said, you start hunting an area, the animals, like the elk in Yellowstone, because the wolves were just introduced, their generation to generations have not had to deal with wolves. So what happens is they don't really know how to defend against wolves. They don't have the built-in startle responses, etc. But as they start getting killed by wolves more and more, their offspring will learn, so it makes total sense.
So this is what happened. They use the smell of this chemical, which has a citrusy smell. It's called acetophenone, and it was paired with a slightly discomforting electric shock to their feet. So that's what they did to the dads.
Right.
Then they gave the children of the dads this acetophenone spray, and they panicked.
Yep. This is rats?
Mice.
Mice, yeah.
I mean, that's some insane shit, man.
It's just, whose job is that? Whose job is like, hey, get the rats, grab their feet, man. Who's doing that?
Well, that's what science
Who's giving
do.
These rats?
But that
these
makes
feet.
Sense evolution from an evolutionary standpoint. You know, you if you continue to be hunted by lions, the first time a gazelle sees a lion, it's running. It's not. It doesn't have to say, "Hey, what is that thing?"
So my kid's gonna love coffee and freaking thick chicks, or what are you talking? Is that how it works?
I think every healthy boy likes thick chicks.
I know.
I was having this conversation with women about with Amy Schumer about models, like the idea of a model, like that
no one likes that. No one likes that.
It's kind of, well, I mean, it's not awful. I don't want anybody who's really skinny to feel bad.
No,
but
not
you don't
at
have
all.
To starve yourself to look like that. Like you're not doing anybody any favors.
Code hanger.
But it's very rare you find a guy who's like, dang. Look at that girl. I can see every rib.
It's like trying to take a nap in a wooden chair.
I've never met a guy who just signed me up for that skinny-ass model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But girls have this idea where they need to be that skinny. Guys don't like that.
Well, it's gay guys who are fashion designers. I'm not saying the straight guys aren't, but a lot of them are gay. Let's be real. It's not homophobic, to be honest. There's a lot of gay guys that, you know, obviously they're not looking for a hips-to-weight waist ratio, ass to waist ratio, because they're not thinking about fucking them, you know. So they like thin and slender,
but also like, oh, that dress looks cool on that coat hanger.
Yeah,
if we could get a chick to be that skinny and thin, so it looked just like that, and then toss a blonde wit, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
So the clothes look the same.
Yeah, it's a weird
thing. That's why I look good in a dress, guys.
But women—they
need models with blonde asses.
Women decide that women who look like that look good, though. That gets weird.
Well, because they see it in magazines.
Yeah, yeah.
They're told culturally, you can be told, like some tribes in Africa, like or in Burma, those women with the really long necks.
How about the women in Africa that put the plates in their face?
Yeah.
The bigger the plate, the more cattle you're worth.
Foot binding in China.
Yeah.
You can learn. Cultures learn what's attractive.
Yeah, I'm just talking about like
how weird
boobs and ass here.
Yeah. Well, that's the normal route. That's the DNA. But there's the cultural route.
What do you think it is? What do you think it is? Why guys are attracted to bigger butts and bigger boobs?
Well, they
breed better.
Yeah, animals.
That's a fact that they breed better.
Sure, larger breasts, larger ass means she's going to have more fat on her body. She'll be healthier to take care of the baby. The baby's going to burn off a tremendous amount of calories. You want a healthy woman. You don't want a sickly person. If you see her ribs, that'll be unattractive because that means she's starving already. She's not doing well.
DNA. I'm not saying freaking eating disorder Amy over here and then thick Amy.
Right.
But there's a reason why guys are like, ooh, look at those big ass titties.
The little ass, too. Why is the ass?
Why is it?
Because they're healthy.
That?
Even male animals attract to round surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of
muscular. You're also attracted to like a big ass is like the sign of great genetics.
Yeah.
It's just the reward.
More speed, more power,
everything.
But then even when a girl gets surgery done and gets implants, I'm still cool. I'm game. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, you're letting your system get checked.
Yeah.
You're letting your system get tricked. Like fake tits. Yeah, that's the thing with guys. Fake tits and fake asses. They actually do work.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're so pathetic. Like our desire to just compartmentalize it and just get our loads out.
I know.
It's just like we're dealing with like pretend you were a ship and the ship only had so much room for bullets on it. You know, if you have too many bullets on it, the fucking ship's going to sink. Well, every day, a new shipment of bullets arrives. And you know what? All right, we're just going to have to fucking be a little less choosy with our targets. And you start shooting into the water, shooting in the sky. You got to get rid of bullets. That's what it's like being a man.
Yep.
Being a man is like being on a fucking battleship that's constantly receiving a new shipment of bullets. And you're looking at the fucking notebook and you're like, who ordered this? Look at all the bullets we already have. Oh, all right. Everybody on deck. We got to start fucking shooting the ocean again.
Everybody on deck.
Shit.
All hands on deck.
Well, that's why people who don't fire off their rounds on their own, they're not judicious about that. What happens to them? Well, they get hoodwinked in some shitbag relationship with some woman who controls how they come. You know, I've had friends where their girlfriend won't let them jerk off. Are you hearing
that's
me?
No way.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes.
Listen, I'll tell you right now. My friend tells me that, I'm going to say, have a good day, sir. We are no longer friends.
See you later.
erase my number.
Have a good day, sir.
Never call me ever again.
I went to Alaska and we came across, so boring. We went fishing. Me and my dad lasted one day, by the way, fishing.
Why?
Because I don't know how to fish.
Oh,
and we lost
every lure.
In 1 hour, the guy goes, we'll just put another lure on. We go, oh, no, we don't have any more. He goes, you lost them all?
You
anyway,
told this story on my podcast three different times.
The point
times.
I'm making is that we found a guy who had an arsenal. He had an arsenal.
What's this have to do with chicks and
About shooting guns, same thing. When you have a lot of ammo, he had crazy amounts of ammo and all kinds of machine guns and M1s. I couldn't squeeze off enough rounds. Like day after day, I became completely desensitized. I was trying to shoot everything. I was like, "What's that thing in the water? Is that an otter?"
That's very different than what we were talking about. But I see why you connected.
I see what you're saying.
Is that a bad correlation?
We were talking about cum.
I saw a report where they say some guys.
Whoa, Jesus! What is that? Who is that? Is that Kim?
That's
Kardashian?
Kim Kardashian. Sign me up.
Okay, is that a real ass?
Yeah, it is.
What's going on there?
Yes,
are you sure?
Real. Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You sure hasn't been pumped up?
No.
Yeah, hey, guess what? I don't care.
Who cares?
I do not care.
That's her real ass. And those are her real tits.
Okay.
Yeah,
Brian knows.
This is my
whatever. Might as well be. Let's make it.
Yeah.
She's probably not even real. Life is probably a gigantic hallucination in the first place.
A big hologram?
Yeah, some sort of mathematical program from space where we're on some computer simulation. But if that is the case, you're creating essentially everything with your imagination that exists all around you.
It's intense.
So let's create her. Let her be live.
Well, the point I was making is I saw a report where it says
you can touch it, it's real.
Where some guys are wired where they just can't be faithful. They're just not wired to be monogamous.
I wonder if that has anything to do with the same thing that they're talking about in this story with sperm being transferred from father to son. I wonder if that's the case with because there's some things that they say, like the children of racists are almost inherently racist. Not inherently racist, like unavoidably so, or they can't learn, but they'll tend to show racist tendencies more likely than someone who is an adopted child of someone who wasn't racist.
Really?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I think they're trying now to figure out exactly what makes a human being. We don't know yet.
So
when you see something like this with mice, and you got to think, what's more complex, a mice or a person? A person's way more fucking complex.
Right.
But if the underlying mechanisms like this, like
fuck
what they're
the mice,
talking about.
Man. Mice does nothing for me.
But it doesn't, because what if you were a guy and you got mugged by a black guy, and a black guy beat the shit out of you and took your wallet, and then you had a kid, and your kid just fucking shrieks every time it sees black people. I mean, that is real. That's the same mechanism that would keep – look, there's a reason why Rupert Sheldrake had this analogy about kids and monsters. Like, why is every kid afraid of a monster? Even a kid who grows up in New York City. Like, you should be afraid of car accidents, right? You should be afraid of floods. You should be afraid of a lot of shit that's real. But kids are afraid of a monster in the dark. Why? Because our ancestors got eaten by jaguars. All right, we saw way, way back in the day before they figured out houses and spears. All that cum made the people of today. And all that stuff's in there. That's why some people have ophidiophobia. Some people have arachnophobia. They're afraid of snakes or they're afraid of spiders. Yeah. And it is fucking paralyzing. Have you ever seen it?
From an evolutionary point of view, in this book, Why Evolution is True, why are people afraid of snakes? And a lot of people... inherently, from all over the place, are afraid of snakes. You take a fake snake on. They've done all these experiments, right? Where people get killed by cars way more often. Why? Well, primates, when they see a snake, will climb a tree. Almost, they're afraid of snakes.
Good.
So they think it's
smart
a memory.
Move.
They think it's
that's why they're still here.
They think it's an evolutionary memory.
Yeah.
That human beings have carried from when, you know, back, you know.
Oh, really? They did a whole fucking research where a guy. Listen, snakes are scary as shit.
There's a reason, though.
No, yeah, because they have beady little eyes and bite the shit out
of
me.
Why aren't you afraid
of cars?
Why aren't you afraid
of cars?
I know. He's panicking.
He's afraid of knowledge.
Why aren't you afraid of cars?
No, I've been in car wrecks.
No, you got into this thing right there where you're trying to anti intellectualize the whole situation. You're like, this is just. You're watching us go back.
No, not at all, man. Not at all.
They're fucking scary.
Oh,
enough said.
No, not at all. There's a reason, because a rattlesnake will bite you, correct?
Mm.
Shake its tail, bite you. How often have you seen a rattlesnake?
Primates,
maybe once in your
primates,
life.
Primates, you don't even know that.
Primates don't even know that, and they climb a tree.
Yeah, almost immediately. They
see
one, they
start shrieking.
Yeah, because
the thing's going to bite you.
Right, but they don't know that.
Don't
We're
know
talking
that.
About things that have never been exposed to snakes. They don't have a book
Including
to read.
Including people.
They don't have videos to watch.
Oh,
they just see a snake,
man,
and they go,
you're
whoa,
right.
I see
they
it.
They see a snake with these huge fangs and
hissing
at them.
They don't see the fangs.
They don't know what that thing is. It looks like a stick that
People have a natural...
It's common sense. You don't touch a snake
not
that's
common sense.
Red and yellow.
Hold on.
How would a monkey have
common sense? Brennan.
Everyone,
common sense.
Common
Brennan.
Sense is
Brennan.
Most likely genes.
Brennan, common sense would
that's
be afraid, way more afraid of cars because they kill way more people a year than do snakes,
nope.
right? But people
we know
all
cars.
Over the globe.
We know cars.
People know snakes.
Not really.
What I'm saying
me,
is that
we
wait
don't.
A minute.
That's why we're terrified of
what
them.
Are you talking about? People don't know snakes?
No, they don't.
Wait a minute. Come on, man. People don't know what a snake is.
When's
or
the
they
last
don't know-
time you saw a snake?
I saw a rattlesnake in my yard 2 days ago.
Well, good for you, Joe. You're around rattlesnakes all the time.
Well, everybody is in L.A. L.A., if you have a yard, it's very possible that
people
you
know what snakes are the way they know
in
what cars
Marina
are.
In Marina Del Rey, you know how many rattlesnakes are? Zero.
That's not true at all.
I haven't seen a rattlesnake in 10 years.
When you go from your house to your car, trust me, you might not see a rattlesnake, but they're out there.
But
there's probably a very small population in your neighborhood.
The point I'm making, you're missing the point. Evolutionary scientists have realized that we have a natural, a human being seem to have universally a phobia of snakes. And
they have fangs and poison.
Hold on.
Silly goose.
Hold on. They have a natural phobia of snakes, and what that is probably is an evolutionary memory. And Joe's talking about how you create fear memory through generations, and that is an example of that. Whether or not you're afraid of snakes, the point is that there are other things in life you should be way more afraid of, and people are not because we don't have as long a memory of it. And that's the argument from
the argument.
Listen,
is,
I get both arguments. Then why are people scared of aliens?
Well, because they're scared of the unknown. We're not just only scared of things that we see that are scary because our grandfathers got bitten by one. We're also scared of the unknown. We're scared of the dark,
period. I think it's a good theory for sure, and it makes sense. But I think there's also some things where, listen, if Predator walks in my room, I don't even be like, hey, man, what's up? Let's hang out.
No. When you go like this to children, they start crying. Little babies.
That
Why?
Scared me.
Why, though? Because it's a memory of being eaten. It's a memory of being eaten. So what they found is even infants, when you bare your teeth and go like this with your hands, you go and growl. Low noises for infants. That's why when men come into a room a lot of times, children, when they hear a low voice, especially when the person's talking loud, a man, they immediately are way more afraid of that than they are of a woman with a high voice. Why is that? Why do they start crying at strange men? That is, according to a lot of evolutionary biologists, that is a memory. That you're actually born with, not and what's that called? Instinct, right? I mean, it's a type of instinct.
Man, or the babies are scared because a giant ass dude talking all loud. You just chalk it up to that.
They're not afraid of TVs. Yeah.
Babies are afraid of a lot of shit. They're afraid of things that don't make sense, like a lady's hat with a fucking giant feather. They freak out because they think it's a poison snake.
I get the point you're making, and I think it's true, but I also think sometimes you just know.
You know what I think? I think it's not either or. I think it's both.
Yeah, it's
but
both.
What they're saying in this
Learned
study
and,
is
and memorized.
What's been proven in this study, though, is pretty unavoidable. If they're detecting the stress response to a very specific smell that they've created that they associated with electric shocks, and then the children have that same reaction, that's pretty much proof.
I mean, but then how's this go back to a guy being faithful?
What I was saying is the same thing with racism. I was saying that there's things that are even useless things that are passed on from generation to generation. And I think at least at one point in time, there was a time where the human race is probably in jeopardy. And it was probably ridiculous for one guy to have sex with one woman and hope that the race was going to keep going. Everybody fucked as much as they could because half the babies got eaten by jaguars.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the odds of a fleshy little fucking shitty designed human
died of disease,
survived
starvation,
animals, wolves, fucking everything
insects,
can eat you until you figure out weapons. Then you have to band together, and that doesn't work out. Look, it's a hard road for a long time for people to make it this far. Now it's so out of control that we're overwhelming. The population is overwhelming the resources of the planet, and will continue to grow at this rate or an exponential rate. But a long time ago, man, it was tough to keep people alive. During the Roman times, it was a 50% infant mortality rate. 50%.
Yep,
if you had two kids, one of them was going to die for sure.
Yep.
And you just had to deal with that.
So they're just having sex with whoever. It was cool.
They were mad dogging it because they were trying to keep the race alive. You know, one of the things that they found
Roman times,
when they were going over the Dead Sea Scrolls was that the Dead Sea Scrolls is the oldest stories of the Bible that are known. It's the only form of the Bible that's written in Aramaic, and they found it in these scrolls in Qumran. It was written on animal skins and left in these caves and these ceramic pots. They found that a big part of what they were concerned with was fertility rituals. They were concerned with making sure that they breed, making sure that they carry on. I mean, this is, we're talking like thousands and thousands of years ago. We, That's nothing, though, when you think about the fact that humans in this form have essentially been around for close to a million years. So for a long time, it was a hard scrabble life where we might not fucking make it. And the only way we could make it is if we protect our territory and fuck every chick we can. We're just shooting loads into everybody.
So Miguel was like, let's do this.
And those are the men that made it. The men that made it, the humans that made it, were the ones that had this evolutionary trait.
And conversely, by the way.
And you're saying that trait's carried on.
Yes, well, that trait exists in primates, but all
not
primates.
I don't think it'll all. I don't think to all. I think some still have it.
No, it exists in all primates, every single primate. The only primate that's ever been observed to even try to be monogamous is a human being. All the monkeys, the gorillas have harems, and the gorillas have such a domination over the females that the females never cheat. So because of this, the gorillas' dicks have shrunk to like the size of an inch.
That's too bad.
Gorillas have tiny
that's
little
so weird,
dicks
I know.
And tiny little balls.
Tiny little dicks and
but
balls.
Chimp bitches are whores. Chimps are sluts. So chimps have giant balls. Balls and giant dicks, but
balls.
Not as big as humans. Right. Human beings are the most promiscuous, and there's a direct correlation between female promiscuity and male testicular size.
Really?
Yes. The bigger the balls, the more likely the male is surrounded by a bunch of who love the dick. So your body recognizes this, and the competition builds up. Right. So you come more, you build up more. There was a bunch of faulty conclusions reached by a book called Sperm Wars, and this book is basically, there was a lot of junk science attached to it, and a lot of it was about these killer sperm that attack sperm and kill them, but they've never been able to conclusively prove that sperm have any properties other than trying to get someone pregnant. There's never been proven that there's sperm that are attacking other sperm, or any mechanism in which they kill other sperm, but what has been proven is your dick is shaped a certain way, okay, and the big fat head at the end is a goddamn plunger.
Yeah.
And like the evolutionary design, a dude's got a little dick head. You ever see a porn and the guy's got a little head and you're like, yeah, this poor bastard, what are you gonna do with that thing? Exactly, because evolutionary we look at that the same way we look at a big ass or big tits, like that's not a good design.
Right.
Like, look at that little fat dick with a little head. You're a mess.
Right.
You're not plunging anything.
I'm not. You can bang my girl. I'm not jealous.
You're plunging. You're using this big fat dick head. The bigger the better to squirt out all the other dude's sperm, yeah, and then with the hood of the hooker,
right?
Yeah, it pulls it out. And then you shoot your own in there.
This is intense.
It's intense.
This
but
is
that's,
super intense.
That's the design of the human
everyone's
being.
Everyone's dick is a plunger.
Yeah, everyone's
a plunger
dick is
a
plunger.
And a hook.
And that's real.
Are there any anteaters in here? Anyone have a hood hanging over their dick?
Not me.
No? Me
Joey
neither.
Diaz has one.
You know what? I didn't know this.
We got tortured.
But in England, most of them have the hoods. I didn't know that.
Well, it should be
everywhere.
It's genital mutation. I mean, or
I
mutilation,
agree.
Rather.
I agree.
It's a horrible,
it really
horrible
is.
Thing.
Because my coach, Tony Jeffries, in Santa Monica, he's having a baby. I said, man, if it's a boy, you're going to cut the hood off, right? Like, it's weird to leave it on there.
Apparently,
like, he goes, no. He goes, who cuts their hood off? I go, everybody?
Yeah.
Haven't you ever seen a
so
porno?
But they do say that you're better at keeping
no studies.
No?
No studies whatsoever. All junk science. All
right?
Horseshit.
So
all propaganda.
Words,
yeah. You know,
so
a lot of
a
it
religious
is.
Religious thing, right? To
it's
cut it off.
A little bit of a religious thing, but it's also, I believe that they're preparing for a giant backlash of babies who've had their dick sliced. Because if circumcision was proven to be genital mutilation and stopped, then guess what you open the door for? Lawsuits! Mm. If everybody just decides to go apeshit on the American Medical Association or anybody who allowed essentially a non-beneficial genital mutilation to be the norm. To be the norm.
For real.
Do you know what kind of backlash there would be? And this is not a propaganda or rather a conspiracy theory sort of an idea. This is the reality of what's going on. Genital mutilation on a wide scale that's completely unnecessary, that has no health benefits.
What's weird is in a locker room, NFL college locker room, if you had a hood, you were the outcast.
We made fun of your dick. Yeah.
But Tony was saying in England, if you didn't have a hood, you got made fun of.
I bet.
It's weird, right?
Yeah. Well, one's natural and the other's not, right?
Yeah. Well, it's
well,
also
just
like
used
we were
to
talking about with the plates in the lip and all that shit. It's just whatever the culture decides is the norm. And the culture's decided that cutting your dick
that
is
has
the
to
norm.
Hurt. Has to hurt.
Oh,
the baby.
Of course
I
it does.
I think, though, you have a better chance of not contacting, like, gonorrhea and things like that.
I think that's all false.
True?
There is no medical society in the world that has recognized any real health benefits to circumcision.
Wow.
It's all bullshit. Not only that, the risks include infection, hemorrhage, scarring, difficulty urinating, loss of part or all of the penis, and even death. Circumcision complications can also and do occur even if the best in the best clinical settings.
I think producer's back. You're a little too smiley over there, fellas. Yeah. You got some hoods back
there. Not only that, more than one baby this decade has... More than one baby has this decade has died in New York because the rabbis, who these really heavy religious Jewish dudes, insist on using the moil, who uses the traditional method of circumcision, where they circumcise the baby and then suck its penis to stop the bleeding. And these rabbis have had herpes and given herpes to the babies. They refuse to stop this because this is a religious procedure. There's moils online, rabbis online, that do doing these videos on like the Jewish name for what that procedure is and how it's written in the Torah, and this is why you should do it that way.
I feel sick.
And this is why it's a traditional way. Yeah. Could you imagine? Here's the test that the universe has given you. Like we're all following different patterns. I mean, Brian, you've got a nice golf shirt on. I have Converse All-Stars. We're all following patterns, right? Here's the pattern. The pattern is there's a fucking ancient religion that was written back when people thought the world was flat. All the fucking rules were written down on animal skins and fucking chicken scratch that you can't even read today, and it says you could suck baby dicks. You cut their dicks and then you suck them. Guess what? Imagine? Imagine if that didn't exist and you tried to propose
that
today.
In the, is that true?
Absolutely. I will show you a video. You want to see a video?
Yeah, but is that in the Old Testament?
Play the video where the moil explains about sucking a penis after circumcision.
What?
It's one of the most horrific
things. Are you sure this
is
the internet or this is a...
No. Ari told me too. I talked to Ari about it, who was raised incredibly religious. Ari studied the Torah 12 hours a day and he watched all this shit and he said, yeah, what the guy said.
He's seen
true.
It. He's seen it?
I don't know if he's seen it, but I bet it happened to
one
him.
One of the things that John Durant, who wrote the Paleo Manifesto, did my podcast, talked about was the Old Testament with the obsession of washing. You know, he calls Moses the first microbiologist, the idea of a guy who – they were obsessed with keeping things clean.
I don't know. Find out if the guy's talking about it. I mean, read the descriptions or listen to it. The guy's talking about sucking on a penis. Circumcision rabbi sucking penis. I bet you'll
doctor,
find it.
I don't have any kids. If I did and doctor touched my kid's dick, he's getting...
Well, a doctor is supposed to touch a kid's dick to make sure everything's okay.
Not with his mouth, son.
This guy, first of all, he's not a doctor. He's a fucking rabbi. Religious nut. He's a cult member. That's what that guy is. I mean, if there was no religion...
That's extreme.
That's not extreme at all. If there was no religion, if religion didn't exist, and some guy came along and dressed like a fucking spaceman and wanted to suck baby dicks, he'd be like, well, that guy's in a cult. But because it's around for 1,000 years, it's not a cult. Oh, it's a religion. It's a fucking cult. Anytime you can get people to adhere to an ideology that you have to look to the stars to find your fucking answers in some magical man who has rules like not mixing meat with milk and cutting baby dicks.
Sure, that's
a lot of those. A lot of those rules. John Durant just wrote this book. A lot of those rules were very practical back in the day. Not eating pork was because you didn't want to get trichinosis.
Exactly.
Sexual laws were, you know, the restrictions on sex were just because you didn't want to catch syphilis and things back in the day. So a lot of that
there's
stuff
no
made sense.
Cutting and baby dick sense.
I don't know anything about
cutting,
that.
Sucking,
zero sense.
Yeah. Cutting, sucking, baby dick, all that doesn't work.
I know
work.
That comes from Moses when he cut his own penis to show his subservience to God in the Old Testament. That's a very weird way to show your subservience.
Speaking of penis, you ever had a friend break a dick?
Moses. I heard of that before. I've
had
never
a friend
had a
break
friend.
A dick. Had to rush him to the emergency. Room.
Yeah,
oh Russian emergency room.
Does it ever get fixed totally, or is it always kind of hooked?
It kind of, curves to the left a little bit.
Wow.
His balls, literally internal bleeding, filled up.
Oh, my God.
Looked like purple gecko skin.
That's why you got to be careful with crazy bitches. You got to get double underhooks on crazy bitch.
You do, man.
If a crazy bitch is riding you, you gotta hold their ass, but like a firm Muay Thai. You know how you got
like
that plum?
Yeah.
You can't just do this, because if you do this, there's too much lateral room.
Yep.
There's room for too
much. Her, keep her down.
I got to tell a story.
Maybe gable grip. The lower hips, that's a good move, too.
My buddy is huge. You've met this guy. Yep. I'm not going to say his name on air. This guy's 6'6", 270, shredded.
I'm giving away his weight. People are going to figure out who it is.
Nah, they won't figure out who he is. So he's like, he tells me, he goes, bro, this girl wants it so hard. He goes, I don't know what to do. I go, how hard? He goes, I'm going to film it next time. So he films it, and it's one of the most disturbing videos I've ever seen. I mean, he's getting air, like, bam. Wham! I'm like, dang.
God,
a week later, he calls and he goes, dude, get over here. I rush over. I go, what's the? He's on the ground, but butt naked. Like, what's the matter? He goes, that video I showed you, I was backing up, missed. My penis hit her ass cheek. Broke his dick.
Oh, my God. Broke his dick.
So this is what I tell him. I go, bro, this is an easy fix, right? I have no idea how to handle this.
Dr. Schaub.
Yeah, Dr. Schaub in the house. Big brown Dr. Schaub in the house. I go, this is an easy fix. I'm going to step out of the room. You put a little porno on. You get erect, we're just going to line it right back up. Right? Just line it right back up.
Just like you fix a broken nose.
Right? That's a great strategy. Yeah.
Right? Right? It makes sense.
That's a great
strategy.
I walked
out of the room. 10 minutes later, I hear, I'm like, oh, shit. So I call my doctor, buddy. I'm like, yo, man. My buddy was hooking up with this girl. Broke his dick. He goes, well, are his testicles big? I go, yeah, man, they're pretty big. I go, let me see your testicles, man. Shows me. These things are the size of a grapefruit and looks like gecko purple dotted skin all over.
I rush him
to the emergency room because of internal bleeding. And people thought we were just two gays. They thought, you know, we're both big dudes.
Two giant gay men.
Both big dudes. I'm not making this up. I wish I could make this up. He's straddled in a gurney like this, right? He's like this. Things hanging down. It's filling up.
Talking to the mic.
This nurse comes in. Hey, boys. Flaming gay guy, right? Which is whatever. I'm cool with that.
Right.
Legs up in the straddle. If this is his broken penis, this dude's like this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, this is pretty bad. Listen, we'll get a doctor and we'll be right back.
And he's doing that to his balls? Yes.
And I'm like, what is going on here? Leaves. Doc comes in. Old dude. I'm like, oh, thank God. Doc comes in. He goes, yeah, man, this is really bad. I go, yeah, the nurse was kind of, you know, he's grabbing him, man, and saying how bad it is. He goes, whoa, 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 whoa. A nurse physically touched his penis? I go, touched.
It was like a freaking telescope.
Oh, this guy was, God. I mean, nose deep on his dick. And he goes, wow, I need to get the name of that guy because that is not code here. He should not be doing that.
That guy just came in a dick scam.
Yeah, he did.
He's not even
dick
a nurse. He was
probably not even a nurse.
Let me borrow that white jacket. I'll give you $500 for that white jacket.
He's got an app on his phone, and when anybody gets administered to the hospital with a broken dick, he fucking shows up, puts on his lab coat.
This urologist comes in, and I go, I got to be honest, man. How did you get into basically majoring in dicks? Like, what road did you go down? And he said, in Egypt, there's some place in Egypt where there's a religion. They might be Muslim, I'm not sure, but they get erections. They think it's the Satan's work, and they break their dick.
That's not Muslim religion. That might be.
Well, no, it's an extremist Muslim religion. He was saying they're Muslim.
It just sounds like a dumb person who.
Well, what? That. Hey, this is okay, what the doctor. Well,
whatever
saying.
It is, it's yeah. another crazy cult.
But he was saying, and these guys need help, so he got into it because he was exposed to it. So these guys think it's Satan's work, the devil's work. They get erections, snap their dicks.
Oh!
And a lot of them die from internal bleeding. They rush doctors down there. So most urologists go down to this part of the world to fix it.
That's God.
Anyways, my buddy.
God trying to get rid of
them. He's all good now. They updated my friend. All good. They gave him pills so he couldn't get an erection for 6 weeks, and his dick was in a splint.
Really? Yeah. A splint?
A splint. And
it's because
now it just has a hook.
Yeah.
A slight hook or a big one?
Is it
noticeable?
It's definitely noticeable.
What's that operation? You can cut the tendon and it makes your dick longer?
But sometimes your dick gets hard.
Your dick gets hard and it goes straight down sometimes. That was the complication.
How much longer could it make it?
You got to jerk off downward, huh?
How much longer could it make it?
Like an inch to two inches. Is your dick that small?
Really?
Yeah. An inch to 2 inches. You can cut a tendon that will actually create more length to your dick. But the problem was that for whatever reason, the tendon is one of the instrumental tendons in keeping it very hot, you know, erect.
You would think they would build some sort of implant for that by now. They have implants for everything else.
People are so fucking weird. Yeah, we're so weird that we'd be willing to cut our dick to stretch it out an inch.
Well, you know, guys, if you could get fake dicks, as like the way women get fake tits, guys would be walking around with 15-inch dicks.
No, they wouldn't because women wouldn't want it. See, there's a big difference. That's why guys aren't allowed to wear toupees. And guys, girls can wear wigs. We don't give a fuck.
I know.
Girls can have fake tits. Who cares?
Right.
If a guy has fake shoulders... Imagine if a guy was walking around with fucking fake shoulders, and you're like, oh my God, I love your shoulders. And you're like, squanch, squanch. They're like fucking fake tits.
They sell shirts like that. Yeah.
They do?
Yeah.
They sell shirts?
Yeah.
Shirts
and
have like
yeah.
You've looked have into
muscles.
It. You've no, looked into
I,
it.
I did a you World's Dumbest. No, I did a World's Dumbest, and they had, and it was one of the inventions.
Oh, that's
hilarious. They sell them and,
well, they have pants that women wear that like suck everything tight to their ass.
Sure. Spanx.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're called, right?
They're all made
yeah.
millions.
But isn't that crazy? Like, women can have fake tits. Women can have a lot of fake things.
Hair extensions.
But we,
does not bother me at all.
We don't care because we're trying to fuck as many of them as possible. That's what the monkey DNA wants to do.
Yeah.
So when the monkey has no problem with the fake tits, they're like, that's great for now. Let's go.
Right.
You know, or they're, hey, I like it. It's big. It fucking sticks out the way I like it. Mm-hmm. You know, like... Your DNA is so scrambled, whereas the woman looks at you with your fake shoulders like, oh, this weak shit. that's motherfucker weak can't even grow a shoulder.
Well, because I think women
want... Oh, you're not coming in me.
Yeah. Women want utility. No, you gotta be able to get the job done. They want utility. Yeah. Men like things that are static, that look good, that we can grab and fuck. But women need, you know, I mean, I'm saying evolutionarily, yeah. I would imagine women need, you got to go out there and actually hunt something while I'm taking care of the kids. And if you got fake shoulders, I'm going to help you catch that deer.
Well,
shit.
Well, not only that, you're like a weak person that's not able to like... completely look at reality.
Bro,
like,
but I think that this is delusional. Why you can see a hot chick with a pretty crappy dude. You know what I'm saying? You never can see a great looking dude with a real fat or ugly girl.
That's true. But you, well, you do if he's gay. But you do see, you also see like these guys that are with these girls, and the girl is like way better looking than the guy.
Younger, probably.
Yeah.
He's a sugar daddy.
Yeah, you see that a lot.
Yeah, but a lot of times women are attracted to a guy.
I would never date a girl.
Good at something. Like, if a guy's really good at something and he's not that good looking, women find that very attractive. So you get a guy who's just,
someone's older.
No, but you get a guy who's really. Someone's older.
No, I mean, if you're like really funny, you got really good skill, man, you can still get those young girls and they're naturally into you.
There are
wrong. Wrong, because Billy, who works at the arcade, who's jacked, has no skill. She's going to take Billy that works at the arcade over you who has a skill.
You say that, but then you see David Spade with a dime.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of that.
Because he's funny.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And he's also rich and famous.
Funny, rich, you know, good at something.
Fame's tough. Fame is different.
Bro,
fame's different.
There are a lot of good
rock and
rollers.
That's when you get the chicken heads.
There are a lot of guys.
That's where chicken heads come in.
There are a lot of guys not good looking that can play.
Yeah, chicken heads.
What's that mean?
Chicken heads, like girls, just fame, you know, girl. They're just bimbos, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Oh, chicken heads.
Chicken heads.
But you said that as if we would know what you mean. Oh, yeah.
I thought you would. I say it.
You know what he meant? Chicken heads?
I've heard him use the expression before, but it is a weird expression.
Chicken head is a female who likes cock. A female likes giving head. Bobbing. This is in the Urban Dictionary.
Like a chicken. Yeah. A dance
bobbing
move.
Up and down like a chicken, and it's a dance move.
Okay.
Well, Brendan Schaub's got his own definition of chicken head.
Yeah, there you go.
It's different. I get it.
But
I
if a guy can play the guitar really well and he's not that good looking, he's getting laid.
Amy Schumer had a strange thing we were talking about last night, being a girl. Like, she was talking about how being a girl sucks because you have an expiration date. On the time where people want to fuck you.
For sure.
And it's running. It's like a clock that's running. Yep. From the moment you realize that sex is important till nobody wants to fuck you anymore. Ready? Go. TikTok, TikTok, TikTok.
I heard my grandmother talking about how devastating it was the first time she realized men stopped looking at her.
Dang.
She said she realized she was finally old when she walked by a group of construction workers one of them looked up.
Whoa.
And she said that was when, and she was with other older women, and they all went, yep, I remember that day too.
I remember that day.
My heart broke. I was about 15 or 16. Yeah, I remember looking at her and I went, man, that's a tough day.
Meanwhile,
I had some girl tell me,
still hot.
Don't waste my time because I'm in my prime. I have 3 more years left. That's what some girls.
She's smart.
God,
she's
don't
smart.
Waste my time. I had a girl tell me I wasted, I wasted a year of my life with you when I didn't want to keep dating. I was like, okay.
I've had a couple.
Now I go, you just totally let me know that I made the right decision.
For sure.
When they say that, I thought we dated and went to dinner and had a lot of fun, and I thought, just like all my other friends, I enjoyed your company. Yeah. I didn't know that you were like investing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're fucking in our 20s, you know. I was like 23 or something like that. I wasted a year. Jesus Christ, this is crazy.
Because a lot of girls are raised to think, you know, you've got to. I mean, even my own mother, who's a really smart woman, said to my sister when she went to get her MBA, she went, hey, listen, you're going to get your MBA. That's great. Work on your MRS as well, you know.
What's that?
Your missus.
Oh, missus? Oh, God. Oh,
well, I tell Brian all the time. Well, we talk about this. Me and Brian talk about relationships all the time. I'll talk to Brian how I'm like, man, I'm a little stressed out. Shouldn't I be having kids or doing something here? Shouldn't I be coming home with a wife, making food and stuff? And Brian goes, no, man, that's what society wants you to do.
Yeah.
That's the norm. That's what everyone wants you to do.
Yeah, I've had this conversation with people who ask me because they know I love having kids. And they go, do you think think that everyone should have a kid. If I didn't have a kid, would I still be happy? And I said, absolutely not. Everybody shouldn't have a kid. I go, you can be a great person, have a great life, affect a great amount of people around you, be a joy to be around, contribute every step of the way, be a great example, inspire people, and never have kids.
100%.
You don't have to. It doesn't make you better, but people take this goddamn self-righteous attitude when they do have kids, and I resent it. And I have kids, and I love my kids. I would never trade being a father for anything. It's a fantastic experience.
But have a kid when you are ready, and have a kid if you feel something
or
missing.
Don't. How about
or
this?
Don't.
Or don't.
Or don't.
It doesn't matter. Like it's a great thing for me. I enjoy, but you don't have to. I know a lot. Like my friend Chris Ryan, Dr. Chris Ryan, who wrote Sex at Dawn.
Yeah.
He made a conscious decision when he was younger. No kids. Mm-hmm. He wanted to travel the world. He lived in Barcelona. I mean, he wrote books. Yeah. He decided he had a life that he wanted to live.
You ready for this? Pisses me off when people don't want kids.
Really? Why?
No, my brother don't like kids and it drives me nuts.
Why does it drive you nuts? Because he loves them.
Give something back, man. You're put on this earth to procreate. Give something back.
Oh, I don't know about all that. Why are you put on this earth to procreate? Okay,
reason, homeboy, before they're all dying, was building the population.
Not everybody has that much to offer. So some people may, like, how about somebody who is basically unhappy with their life? Should they have kids?
Well,
or if they don't have anything to
offer. Damn it. Too much stevia again.
Yeah, watch how I do, bro. This is like the super stuff. That's what I do. Yeah, there's more of these. Grab another
one. The whole formula.
Grab another one, man. Callan ain't going to drink all this. He doesn't even drink it. He gave up already. He's falling asleep. Look at him over there.
I'm all like sensitive. I have one cup. I'm like, ooh, I feel shaky.
I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
You think that there's a good thing to do.
Well, I just don't like people like, well, I like clothes. I like shopping. I like my vacations. I don't want kids.
Why is that bad?
You know what? Lose my number. You're not my friend anymore.
Whoa. How dare you?
Yeah.
But why is that bad? Why do you care
what
other people like and don't like?
I just care, man. I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense.
Especially if they're close to me.
You know what drives me nuts, man? If people hate kids. And
yes.
There's something about women hating kids. I wrote this on Twitter once that I view women who don't like kids the same way I view dogs who like to eat their own shit. And then this male feminist guy wrote this huge blog about
thing
it.
To say.
I should have said hate. I said don't like. So he connected it to the only reason why a woman exists in his world is to have children. Like, added a bunch of stupid shit that I don't believe at all
to
reinforce this idiotic point. You're writing a blog about a tweet, you fucking idiot.
True.
You know, that's what you're doing. And he, by the way, he's an academic, too. Professor.
First of all, for you singles out there, red flags if a girl likes cats, doesn't like dogs, and doesn't like kids.
Yeah.
All red flags.
Well,
carry on.
In some people's lives, it's a good thing. If you want a chick that doesn't like kids and you don't like kids,
if she doesn't like kids, she's probably pretty selfish, my man.
Could be. You're right.
No.
This is 100%. Most likely, you're right.
Or she's into something, or she's just into...
She
what
could
she's
be
into.
A,
or
yeah,
she's
she
into yoga and makes $8 a day. I mean, who...
Everybody has to want children.
Well, yeah, it could
I'm
be also that she has
flag.
Some sort of a really demanding occupation. You know, she
oh, yeah?
could be a
like,
doctor.
Like what?
Or
maybe someone
or
else
she had a really bad childhood. Or she
yeah.
had a really bad childhood.
Okay.
And
you guys are talking about the exception. In general, if she doesn't want kids.
Someone who has a really good career or a demanding career today, that's not really the exception that much. There's a lot of women who have very demanding careers today.
Yeah, and very fulfilling careers.
You don't run into them?
I do.
Look at Brendan just made the, like I just farted.
You know what? In L.A., yeah, they're everywhere. I mean, a model, actress, I mean.
Bro, listen to what you just said right there. What are you pulling from? You're not like getting regular women.
Well,
right.
I live in L.A., man.
I understand.
Well, there's another one.
I get what you're saying.
Let's broaden
yes.
our horizons
yes.
and try, even though we're three
I'm talking
men
from,
here.
I'm talking from Brendan Schaub, Marina Del Rey. I'm not talking about from
I understand.
The world.
And Brendan Schaub, Marina Del Rey
looked
at people that
world,
don't want to have kids.
Yes.
And it's like, fuck you.
Yes.
Lose my number.
There you go. There you go. There you go. 100%. And Brendan Schaub's world, she goes, hey, I'm Kelly. I love cats. I have 8 cats. I hate kids and I hate dogs. I'm like, cool. Over. Red flag.
Well, yeah,
that's a little extreme.
That's not liking dogs thing is a weird thing because it's like, unless you're allergic to them, that I understand. But if it's like a nurture thing, like you don't like animals that like you or need you. I like my cat because I can push it away. It never cries. You know, I just leave food.
Yeah, that's
I go out of town
that's
for the weekend. I just leave
trait.
Food.
That's a personality yeah. trait. Like, I love dogs. Well, somebody one time explained to me what a dog is, and they were talking. I read this article about how dogs evolve to be really friendly.
Yeah.
And that's how they manipulate.
It was on Cosmos.
And when I read that, I was like, maybe I don't like my dog as much as I used to. I used to really like being like, my dog's like a human. I talk to him. Now I'm like, nah, you're a dog. You're manipulating me.
I'm not manipulating you.
I know.
They're born in shitty circumstances.
Yeah, for a little while, I lost a little of my affection.
I love dogs. Man.
Love them, man.
I'll never not have dogs. My wife's allergic to dogs. I'm like, tough shit. We're having dogs. We'll have dogs.
Does she take medication or shots?
No, she just doesn't like hug them. As long as she doesn't hug them, it's fine. It's not severe.
Really?
Yeah, but and if she hugs them, she just gets red marks on her arms. Yeah. It's very common. But some people, man, like Gary Valentine, a buddy of mine, you know Gary, comic? He couldn't come over my house because I have cats.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you have cats? The door.
I have cats and dogs.
Dang, Doug.
Yeah, I love animals.
I do too, but not cats.
You don't like cats?
I'm allergic to them.
Oh, well, there you go.
I never had a cat.
Gary couldn't even walk in the house. His voice would, his pipe would start shrinking up. Couldn't breathe.
Wow.
You talk about like it'd make him whistle.
Yeah,
like
I can't touch my eyes. If I came over your house, I can't touch my face. My eyes are swollen shut.
Wow.
I'm allergic to nothing.
How about think about that? What a weird response that is. Normal shit for other people, like a bag of peanuts. Given to some people, and it's death. Dude.
Well, how about I was eating a lot of Brazil nuts, and then for whatever reason, the inside of my mouth, not me. Get this, the inside of my mouth would swell up to the point where I was like, why is the inside of my mouth? Literally, I was like, whoa, 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 and it got worse and worse. And then I was like, what the hell's going on? So my mother comes over, and she goes, those are Brazil nuts. I go, yeah. She goes, you know, if I eat one, I would die. And I went, what do you mean? She goes, I can't even eat. She ate half a Brazil nut that was in a salad a long time ago, and she had to be rushed to the hospital.
Why didn't this bitch tell you?
Right. So what
sorry
I realized,
to call your mom
what
a bitch.
I realized is that I, what I realized, really mean. I'm clearly allergic to, you know, to Brazil nuts, and I was woofing down. I mean, woofing down.
At least partially, you know.
Yeah,
you probably don't have it as bad as her.
No, I don't. But when you lack, I guess, an enzyme for certain nuts or whatever, you
Brazil nuts are high in zinc. I think.
Have you ever had your blood type tested for what you're allergic to?
I want to do my genome.
I did a whole diet where they test your blood type to see what you're allergic to, and said I'm allergic to egg yolk, and that's really it.
Yeah, nuts. That's crazy. Brazil nuts actually can increase your testosterone.
That's why I was eating them. The trainer told me to take them in my shake.
Really?
Yeah. Brazil nuts.
A mass amount of them or what?
No, like
supposedly
seven.
Super fucking healthy for you. It says it's selenium, apparently. Also, it helps lower your LDL or bad cholesterol, reduces the incidence of blood clots and heart disease.
If I eat a shitload of Brazilian nuts, are they going to be like...
Don't eat a lot of nuts.
Brendan tested positive for Brazilian
nuts.
Don't
eat a lot of nuts.
Well, it says here they actually caution limiting yourself to no more than 2 Brazil nuts per day because they are so loaded and concentrated with selenium that you don't want to overdose.
Right.
Copper and selenium are very important minerals, but with minerals, like, balance is really key.
Right.
So you got to be real careful with, like, overdosing in certain minerals.
Brazilian nuts, I'll take this into account, fellas.
Dose daily.
They were selling these mega vitamins. This guy was talking about how they were selling vitamin E tablets, gel caps, and it was 3,000 milligrams. And the guy said, you'd have to eat 1,500 almonds to get that much vitamin E.
That's too much.
And it's just too much. You gotta
be careful. That's a lot of vitamins.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Too much.
You got to be careful.
Yeah, well, you can't be an idiot.
Yeah.
It's pretty basic.
But it's easy to be an idiot.
Yeah.
It's easy to be an idiot. You know, that's what's really weird
about
the supplement business. Like, it's very tricky, like, what affects certain people doesn't affect other people. Like, with Alpha Brain, for instance, when we first put Alpha Brain out, we had slightly different ingredients because some people had an adverse reaction. They would get, like, a headache when they would take it. It wasn't a dangerous thing, but it was enough for, like, we got to back this down a little bit. And so you got to be careful with like certain reactions that some people have, you know, like you with cats, like you with peanuts, like that's the thing when it comes to vaccinations. Like everybody talks about vaccinations, like you're either in the camp of you believe that vaccinations are evil and they cause autism, or you're in the camp that those people are idiots and they're dangerous. And then these anti-vaccine people are really making all these diseases like measles show up in New York City again.
Yeah.
But the reality is that the truth lies somewhere in the middle, because yes, vaccines are super important. They're the reason why we don't have a lot of infectious diseases that wreaked havoc. And there's science behind them, and it's fascinating that human beings have figured out how to create these things that have fight off diseases. But some people are going to have adverse reactions to everything.
Yep.
That's the reality of medication. That's the reality of foods. 100%. That's the reality to your environment. There's some people that can't live in the desert.
A very small number.
You're right. Depending. You're right.
We're dealing with the masses.
But you're
the majority.
But you're dealing with 300 million people.
For sure. So, but when you're trying
when
to make
you have
money
those
on a
small
supplement.
People. But what I'm saying is, when you have those the small amount of people, if you have 300 million people and all of them get vaccinated, you're going to have 100 people, 1,000 people. You're going to have all these examples of things that went wrong. And people look at that and go, well, look, there's so many people where things are going wrong. But what you're not thinking about is the just sheer numbers of people it kept from being diseased. Sheer numbers of people that we how we contained polio and we contained.
They think smallpox probably killed 500 million people throughout history.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And it's
and
no longer
we
around.
We squashed it out through vaccinations.
And polio put so many children in on iron lungs and in wheelchairs. I
mean, and not only that, they did it in our grandparents' lifetime.
That's right.
You know, it's incredible. Incredible discoveries have been made by science, but it doesn't mean that some people
don't
just
have
like,
an adverse reaction.
Some people are going to eat peanuts and they shouldn't, they're going to die. Yeah. It's going to happen every year. Yeah. Every year, more than 1,000 people die from aspirin.
Yeah.
They take aspirin
and when
they
you
die.
Take supplements, make sure you look into the data because a lot of the stuff is not regulated. So if you're going to take massive doses of whatever it might be, make sure you take a look at the data. Take a look at the double blind studies. See if it bears out.
Well,
there's
not only
a way
that,
to test this stuff.
It's also when you get a supplement, like say if you're running a supplement company and you're buying vitamin B12, okay?
Yeah.
You got to fucking test the vitamin B12 you get from the source.
Right.
Whatever it is, vitamin D, whatever you're getting, you have to test it. You have to test it independently because with Alpha Brain, we've had to make sure we've had in the past, we had problems with manufacturers having like bad mixtures, like the mixtures
were off.
Bone
meal, when you say calcium from bone meal, has a great deal of lead in it or something like that. I think it's lead.
What is
but they were
Alpha
finding
Brain?
Crazy amounts of lead in bone meal for whatever reason. I can't remember if that's the exact thing, but it was like a lawsuit. And the vitamin company was brought up on charges because the source of where they were getting their calcium was very heavy in, I believe it was lead.
Wow.
A certain metal, yeah. So you got to know where it's sourced from, and you've got to know what your body's like.
It's so hard to tell what the fuck's going on in your body. I told you I was having that problem with, I had arsenic in my blood. It turned out it was from sardines.
Dang. You must have been eating a shitload of sardines.
He did. He's eating a lot of
Take
sardines.
Take it easy on sardines,
every scientist I've had, like I've talked to on the podcast
apparently.
And stuff, says they always come down to one thing. None of them say meat's bad for you.
Can I take these?
Yeah, take them all. Yeah. I take four.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you some of the Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech's some fascinating shit.
Shroom
Tech Sport. Yeah, it's all cordyceps mushroom. It's all oxygen utilization. I'll show you all the data behind it and send it to you. It was all developed for the Chinese Olympic team.
Really?
Yeah. Fascinating stuff. They found it in high-altitude herding populations. These animals that would eat these mushrooms would be more active. Mm. And so the people started observing it, and then they started cultivating it.
Well,
and they started using
it sounds,
as a supplement.
From hearing you guys talk, it sounds like I should hire you as my nutritionist. I told you about this lady
you
I hired.
You have a good
nutritionist? No, Joe.
Oh,
no, I don't.
Great. This is great.
No, I know.
Oh, yeah. Listen,
I don't.
This is a great story.
I was recommended to this lady. I'm not going to say her name or where she's at. I was recommending this lady. She goes, yeah, so this is what we do. And she goes, what are you looking to do? I go, I love to eat clean. I feel good eating clean. I'm not looking to lose weight. You know, I want to stay the same way. Just I like to eat healthy. Perfect. I deal with a lot of high-level athletes. I got you. I'm not making this shit up. I showed Brian. This bitch gave me chili cheese fries for breakfast. Chili cheese fries and rice was for my breakfast. I took a picture of it, emailed her. I said, I think my order got messed up because you got to pick up your meals, right?
Right.
I'm like, I think the order got messed up. There's cheese and chili all over some fries for my breakfast. She goes, you have a busy day of training. You're going to need the calories. Yeah, she lasted for a week. Huh, Brian?
Why did you keep her for a week?
What about the meeting? What was the meeting like? I can't remember what she said.
All the meat.
Chili
cheese fries.
Fucking crazy bitch.
Crazy bitch.
And by the way, in the mail, my chili cheese fries better be fresh. I don't want them in the mail.
They don't put them in the mail. Yeah. They deliver.
I don't. I
get meals delivered.
When did you cook them? 3 hours earlier? No.
I get meals delivered.
Do you Sunfare?
Yeah.
Do you Sunfare?
No, I use a private company.
Yeah, yeah.
A small company.
Yeah, Sunfare.
It's a woman runs. She runs it. She was a. She had a job as a I forgot what it was, but she got fired or what have you, and she starts her own like food business.
Well,
she
yeah, so cooking I got chili friends. Cheese fries. I fired her, and then it didn't go. We didn't mix right from the start. Right when we sent, she goes, I was in a rush. Right, I'm like, here, I'm here to pick up my meals. Blah blah blah. She's like, well, can we just sit down for a while? I'm like, sure. So she's like, well, you got to sign this contract. I'm going over it. It's like, I, Brendan Schaub, for the next 37 days, will not eat junk food. I'm like, yeah, whatever.
What?
Will not drink soda. Cool, I don't drink soda. Third one down, will not drink coffee. I go, oh, skip that one. Keep going. Will not. Cool. And she's looking at it, going through the page. She goes, okay, we're good. Oh, you missed one right here. And I go, yeah, you're talking about the coffee one? She goes, yeah. I go, that ain't happening. She goes, excuse me? I go, I mean, we can get into this if you want, but there's clinical studies that show coffee helps out with workouts. And I mean, it's not bad for you if you do in moderation. She goes, well, then I don't know. I go, well, I'll tell you right now, it's not going to work out. I'll walk at it right now. She goes, all right, I'll make one exception. And then just right there, I was like, God, this is not going good. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't work with her anymore. Long story short, she got fired.
Chili cheese fries should have fired her. That shit's ridiculous. You should be eating fruit and vegetables, not chili fucking fries.
It's chili cheese fries with rice. Because she said pre-workout. I needed the calories.
Oh, my God. She's so retarded. This is pre-workout. Has she ever worked out hard a day in her life? Do you know what kind of throw up and shit would come out of your body if you ate chili cheese fries and then did like a strength and conditioning workout, did box jumps and kettlebells and battle ropes with chili running through your bowels?
You ready for this? I
good luck.
I have to be one of the only heavyweights who's on a diet like this. It's called an alpha diet. I don't eat breakfast. I do bulletproof coffee and the MCT oil, and I hit the ground running. And
well,
I don't eat to about
you
2.
You juice, though, right? Don't you juice in the morning?
Vegetable juice, yeah.
Oh, well, that's something, too. And you'd be amazing how much, you know, butter and MCT oil. You're dealing – the reason why this bulletproof blend works is because you have the healthy fats connected to the caffeine. It's a slow burn of the caffeine. But you can't get over the actual calories. I mean, someone should take one of these things and find out how much a thermos of this bitch is calorically with that much butter and that much MCT oil. I bet it's quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Eating a fucking hunk of butter takes you a while for your body to digest those fats.
Yeah.
But
that's what I'm burning.
Easy, though. Yeah, you could burn, it's a great way to work out.
To
drink that stuff in the morning because you feel full, you have energy, and yet you still get a good workout in.
What about eating a sugar source before you work out? Like what would be good? Like they say,
fruits.
Like you can.
Nothing's better than fruit.
Yeah, so not pancakes or
no,
stuff like that.
No. That's terrible for you.
Why don't you eat some pancakes, some chili cheese fries?
Even if you're doing like endurance sports?
Gluten is a tricky thing, man, because if you have a bad reaction to gluten, you're going to have all sorts of issues. And even if you don't have a bad reaction to gluten, the studies are showing pretty clearly that it causes inflammation. And you may be fine, but with a lot of people, you get this bloated appearance. Like, I've seen people go from wheat to no wheat, and then their face shrinks in, their body looks different. It's like your body's inflamed,
right?
And it's a lot of weird calories. It's calories where your body's breaking down glue, you know? I mean, it tastes great. I mean, I love lasagna. I love pasta. I love delicious bread. It's great. You go to a restaurant, Italian restaurant, they bring over that bread, and you smell it, and you put some butter on that.
Me and Brian like a nice cheese plate.
Oh, yeah.
Little bread, little cheese plate.
Cheese plate's nice.
Yeah, it is.
The problem is gluten is just not a smart choice. If you're thinking about what you're going to put in your body, why fuck around with that? You could have lettuce, and you can have all sorts of delicious greens, and you can have fresh meats. You're going to have a good – your body's going to give good nutrients. It's going to have what it needs. When you're having gluten or pasta or anything like that, you're just giving it a nice, delicious taste.
Yeah.
And if that's what you're cool with, that's cool. You know, you're just out on a date, want to have a delicious meal. But if you want performance food for your body, you really shouldn't fuck with anything that's complicated.
You want it clean, burning.
Exactly.
In and out. Like
sweet potatoes.
Chicken breasts, sweet potatoes,
fish.
Yams, fish. You know, if you can get some game, you get
buffalo
some fucking
meat,
deer, buffalo. Yeah. You know what else is good? Lamb.
Brian
would
shut up. Would you guys hunt?
Deer.
Elk?
Deer. Deer.
So good.
Brian would shut up about
so
it.
So good. It's so rich in nutrients and vitamins.
Never
and
had it.
So low in cholesterol.
I'll roast, dude. I'll make a roast.
A 12-ounce elk steak has less cholesterol than a 12-ounce chicken breast.
Eat the shit out of that steak.
Nothing better than elk
steak.
It's
so good for you, too. It tastes so good. It's like almost got a sweet taste to it. It's a dark red meat.
Dang.
Oh, elk tenderloin
it's
on a grill. It's so good.
Steve Brunell has eaten every meat, every meat, including mountain lion.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, you see
elk's the best.
And he goes, he said, if I had to eat one meat every day, it'd be elk.
Yeah, a lot of people think that. And it's
never
a
had
giant
elk.
Animal.
Never had elk.
You should be hunter.
You'd love it.
Nah, man, I hate.
I like sent.
Guns.
I sent a picture of the deer
don't
I shot.
We have to go done. We could use bow and arrow. I'd do it like a man. Would you be down for that?
Oh yeah,
let's do it.
I sent
three
a picture
of us
of deer
bow
sent.
Hunting Tejon Ranch.
I'd be down for that.
I bet you would be down for that.
Naked and afraid.
I'm
too.
Doing this thing.
What? Are we naked?
I'm doing this thing. No, we're gonna wear.
No,
our
have
clothes.
You ever seen? Naked
I'm gonna
and
wear
afraid?
Extra clothes just because.
Have
you
ever
said
seen
that.
Naked and Afraid?
Yes, I have. I love it.
I think I would wreck shop on that show.
I think you'd do fine until you got your dick bit by a spider and then you'd cry.
There you go.
No. Because I'm covering Tejon myself Ranch. In mud.
Tejon Ranch, hour and a half north of here. We stay for a weekend. We film it. We go pig hunting with bows and arrows.
Let's do it.
I'm so down.
Are you
Wait,
down?
Just for 2 days though, right?
2 days.
Yeah. I'm down.
Saturday and Sunday.
He doesn't do nature
hey,
very
and then,
well.
And then we spot. Hey, 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 and then we spot on Sunday, huh, fellas?
Spot? Spot each other lifting? Is
no,
what you're
spot.
Saying?
Spot.
Spa. Oh, spa.
Hot tub, okay. Facials.
I got confused. I
was he, like, you know, he's a prima donna. Mm. He'll be like, one of the toughest guys on the planet, he misses a meal. If he's a half hour late to a meal, he's like this. I'm lightheaded, man. I'm starving.
Well, you got to think of what he's doing with his body.
All day.
You can't even imagine.
I'm chilly. I'm cold. You guys cold?
Yeah, I'm a sissy, man.
You can't imagine how fucking much he works out.
I know.
You don't take that into consideration?
No, I don't.
Brian, who I work out all the time. Once a week, he might get in a workout. Yeah. Once a week, and he probably Instagrams it.
I work out. I just work out moderately.
You might work out once a week. You might go a month.
He's
with
the
nothing.
Guy on Instagram.
You're
the
out
post
of your mind.
How many, the longest day? How many days have you gone the longest without any working
out? I work
out at all?
Every single day.
The fuck away from
without
me.
Without question,
I'll come
out.
To your house and find you not working out.
All right,
and kill you.
All right. How about this?
You're such a liar.
I bet you work out. Twice
I don't work
a week.
Out every day.
You box twice a week.
No, but I work out too. I
you don't work out
Kieran.
Every day. I don't ever
I
work out every
weights.
Day. Nobody works out every day. You
I
need days off.
I well, I take Sunday off.
I
Sunday's my only day.
Yeah.
Almost. Now it's almost.
Yeah, I do.
It used to be I work out every day.
I'll tell you what, though. Brian's footwork is impressive. I'll give you that. His footwork's impressive. When I saw it, I was impressed.
Thank you, buddy.
He's a dancer.
I'm a dancer.
He is. All you have to
I'm
do is just teach him different moves.
Built for dance.
That's it.
Move his feet around.
That's it.
He's got an ollie shuffle.
Tony's a good teacher, man. Trying to move around with that guy. My God.
The best, man.
Oh, and by the way, I am
you
definitely
by the
not,
way in?
I'm by the way in. Because
you just by the way again?
I am definitely not. I mean, you get more tired boxing. Just try to move around and you're exhausted.
I can't, honestly, I can't boxing, focus right now. Can we? Can,
are you pulling
can
your cock?
No,
you
look. He has these tight-ass Peter Pan green jeans on.
And
his piece is just bulging out.
Just
look
sitting,
at this,
man.
What are you doing?
Just
you
sitting like
that. I'm an American
man. Are you rubbing
man.
Your cock at all?
No, but whenever I'm around Brennan, a little extra blood flows in.
Well, what you know what it is? It's that same thing that causes men chimps to have bigger balls.
Right.
It's like you're around an alpha male.
I have
and
to
you
compete.
Start like,
I'm trying to compete.
And your dick is like, we better get bigger.
For sure get your dick out of my face.
Yeah, that's not the way to compete.
For sure, very obviously.
You're mixing it up. You get confused. Look at this chimp's balls. Look at that.
Yeah, that's it.
Look at that motherfucker.
Look at the muscles on that chimp.
Jesus Christ.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Those hands are
muscles.
Built for brutality.
Well, totally different tendon structure. Everything's bigger and thicker. Everything's ridiculous.
God.
That thing weighs 150 pounds and it can throw itself through the air with its arms.
That's insane.
Imagine that. They grab a branch and just throw themselves through the air and slap that other one like it's Velcro.
That's
and
insane.
Just hang and fucking... They could be 1,000 feet off the ground hanging from a branch.
So weird.
Do you, so weird. Joe, do you think you could tear it up on Naked and Afraid? Me and Brian
no.
talk about this all the time. You wouldn't
no.
do well.
No. I mean,
21
I could,
days?
Nope. First of all, I would the stupidity of it all would insult me as a human being.
Why?
I was so dumb that I was willing to be on a show that was exploiting me to the point of making me naked go through the fucking jungle. I'd be like, after one day, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm an asshole. I am such an asshole. This is who I am. I'm not Spider-Man. I'm not fucking Herschel Walker.
You can talk about
I'm
you can talk
naked
day
and afraid.
Two, day two, he'd be like, this blows.
With dirt on my balls, and I'm like, this is so stupid. I'm sleeping on dirt. There's spiders everywhere.
I just like the challenge. I'm not outdoors guy at
Dude,
all.
Dude, hunting with
like
gear. Hunting with gear like Joe and I did, with gear, with tents, that's a bitch.
That sounds super boring.
Well, it wasn't boring at all. It was very exciting.
Not well, that's
we were
not what Brian
in
said.
In Montana.
No, I didn't.
I'm just
9 degrees.
You should have seen his face.
No, that was scary. That was fun.
It was really fun. I mean,
and
we went rafting 40 miles down the Missouri River in
dope.
A place where there's nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw 5 people in 5 days.
I'm down to kill animals with a bow. Gun does nothing for me. Guns are super boring to
guns
me.
Guns a great way to do it because you definitely kill them, and you also can get them at a large distance, so you can get many more shots. Like, getting up on some animals is super problematic with a bow and arrow. Like, what we did,
the
kind of hunting that
difference.
We did...
Yeah, they starved a lot too. They also, you know, well, they had been doing
they did
it a
pretty
long
well,
time.
Yeah. Well,
they did okay.
They did pretty well.
There was a lot more buffalo back then. They didn't have the long range rifle capabilities that brought down a
lot of
buffalo.
They would also wait till they got in the water a lot of times. They wait till they'd cross a river and then they'd jump
We
on
could
it.
Do that. Yeah. That could be the three of us. We wait till they get in the water and we start just
bow and arrow,
bam,
dude.
Bam, bam, bam.
I have a Hoyt. It's a 90-pound draw. It shoots a 475-grain arrow, which is pretty heavy, at 302 feet per second.
Jeez.
It blows through everything. It'll blow through a buffalo, an elk,
really?
A bear, everything. Boom, right through. Bone, everything. Boom, it's going right. It goes through trees. I shoot it. If I miss the target and it hit the I had the target set up on this fence post. It blew right through the fence post. Like a big 2x4 of wood blew right through and out the other side. A 2x4. Think about what it'd do to a body.
Wow.
Yeah. And so one of those, you might as well have a gun. But you're going to have to be close enough to hit it. And shooting anything 20 yards away is tough. 40 yards away is really tough. Like the difference between when I shoot a target that's 20 yards away and 40 yards away, like the amount of movement that you could do before you release the arrow. At 20, you got a little bit of wiggle room and then you could release it. But you get to 40 and it's so minute because you're looking at something that's not magnified, your sight, and you're looking at a target that's so small because it's so far away. Yeah. And you're just keeping that motherfucker right there and then letting it go.
Don't you find that more exciting than having this gun that basically does it all itself? It's like a video game.
It's definitely
this
more exciting.
Poor animal comes walking through your freaking.
Here's the problem with
eyesight.
That logic, though. Here's the problem with that logic. That poor animal will definitely get killed if you have a rifle with a scope. If you have a rifle with a scope, you're looking at that animal from 200 yards away. That's a dead animal. Yeah. Boom! You're blowing a hole through that thing clean. If that deer is sitting there, it's all in you not fucking up or your gear being off. You could. I fucked up in Wisconsin. I dropped my rifle. I fell on a hill, and my rifle scope. When they installed the scope. I changed the scope when we got to Wisconsin, and the guy, when he put the scope on, didn't have it tight. And when we fell, it was like you could lose it. Well, you could move it with your fingers, and it caused an animal to get wounded. Yeah. You don't want that, and you have way more of a chance of that with a bow and arrow.
It's also not as easy as you think.
It's way hard to shoot an animal with a rifle.
Yeah.
Shooting an animal with a bow and arrow is really,
but we have all this technology now. I saw the video of you, the three of you, just chilling like this one sleeping bag, telling jokes. And this little like reindeer came prancing around. And
reindeer, caribou, they live in Alaska.
And you had like a bazooka, and it came across.
I had a bazooka. No, it wasn't. It was a cannon.
He
I had a light of
fuse.
He loves
to exaggerate. We had a helicopter gunship, and we radioed in.
Meanwhile, you eat meat, dude. What are you talking about? You're just getting something that's tortured all its life, and then shoved into a fucking vice, and they put a piston through its brain.
I'm not a against it. I'm just saying it doesn't seem very exciting.
It's very exciting. When that animal comes out of the woods and it's like looking around.
When you get an animal in your sights and first of all, you've been tracking it for 3 days, four days and you haven't seen one.
And it's a wild animal.
Yeah. I'm just saying if you were tracking it with
bows and
not
arrows.
Technology, it'd be a lot cooler.
Well, here's the thing. In Montana where we were, if you were bow hunting, you're fucked. You're not going to get a close enough shot. No. The closest shot I got was 200 yards. That was the only shot that I got. I got one deer. I shot it at 200 yards. That's a long way. You can't even see that far with a bow and arrow sight. I mean, the idea that you're going to hold that deer in, it's going to look so small when you're looking at it with no scope.
Sure, yeah.
Not even harder. It's not. I mean, I don't think anybody's ever done it. I mean, maybe a few people have done it, but you have to be like expert archers to shoot a deer at 220 yards. But with a rifle, that's common.
Yeah.
Super common.
Yeah.
You know, you line it up. It's a magnifying rifle. You see the deer really clearly. You lock the crosshair on his heart, and boom, it's over.
I think hunting would be a lot more cooler if you were hunting like something that could sneak up on you and kill you. I think that'd be a lot cooler.
Well, the problem
like
with that
deer,
is,
like deer. Oh no, I missed. It goes prancing away. You know what I'm saying? Like who cares?
So it would be cooler if your life was in danger.
Yeah, if that deer hat like saw you and was like,
water poison. Yeah. Water buffalo, when you shoot a water buffalo, a lot of times they disappear into the tall grass and you must go into that tall grass and finish them off. Now
pull up the video of Cameron Haynes shooting a water buffalo.
He's waiting for
bow.
You. He's waiting for you. With a boat?
My friend Cameron Haynes, who is the guy who he got me hooked up with Hoyt, and he's the guy who got me this 90-pound bow. It's the same bow that he shoots.
Okay.
So I shot it at my house, and it's so accurate. I got to get one of these things. It's incredible. It's so accurate. It makes me more confident to shoot because I know that if it hits something, it's... Because
it's got sights that are really ridiculous.
Yes, and it's just... So look at this. He snuck up on this
1,000-pound water buffalo in Australia.
And they are dangerous.
Fuck yeah, they are. Well, try running. First of all, it runs faster than you, and it weighs 2,000 pounds.
That's crazy.
So it only sees movement. So see how he's not moving? The reason why he's not moving is because it's stopped, because it sensed movement. So then when it goes back to eating, he starts creeping.
Dude, are you kidding
me? And this whole
right
process is taking him a long time. This guy,
this
you
is
would
your
love
boy?
This guy. He's
this
my
is
buddy.
Your boy?
I'm going hunting
he
with him.
He looks like
in
he's
June.
In shape, too.
He's in very good shape. He does 28 chin-ups. That's one of the reasons why he does it, is so he could pull back this monster bow. Because that bow is, most human beings, I mean, you can pull it back, Brian can't. So
I'll do 28 pull-ups.
So how did he,
but you weigh 8 pounds.
So how did he get this?
So this is a friend of his behind him is filming this. See, obviously, there's a guy who's holding the camera. So this is a long, slow process. You don't have to speed it up. Leave it alone, Jamie. This is a long, slow process where he has to wait for this animal to give him a broadside shot, and when the animal's facing him, he can't move at all. This guy doesn't hunt with rifles. All he hunts with bows and arrows.
90 pounds.
See, this guy's my style. I like this guy.
I tried to pull a 60-pound bow, and it was really hard.
You're such a bitch.
I mean,
oh
is he
going
to shoot this thing, or is he just trying to steer at the damn thing?
It takes a long time, bro, because if you fuck up, that thing knows you're there, and then it's running at you. Essentially, it
for
can't
sure
know
hide
you're
the tree.
There. It
for
can't
sure jump behind the tree.
Here it goes. Here it goes. So now the thing is going to give him a broadside shot. It's close enough. He's down to about 30 yards. With a shot, with an animal like this, you want to ensure that you shoot that thing through the fucking
heart.
Bro, he's
standing next
to him. No. It's faced the wrong way. It has to go sideways totally. Because right now it's quartering away, so you're only going to hit the shoulder, and it might not hit a vital organ. So then you got an angry buffalo with a stick in its arm. And then it's running at you, and it weighs 2,000 pounds, and it runs 40 miles an hour. Good luck.
Yeah. Well, I'm for sure hiding behind those trees.
But look, this thing is waiting, so he doesn't move, man, because it's looking at him.
Look at this, dude.
So this is a long fucking stalk, man. This is like a 20-minute stalk, where he's standing there with this 90-pound fucking bow in his hand, and he's not moving. Look, so now it goes back to eating. It's decided that he's nothing to be ashamed or to be concerned with.
Ashamed of. He's ashamed nothing of. To be ashamed
so
of.
So now look. Oh now my. He sees it and he pulls it back.
What? Damn. Boom.
That thing runs off. It's got a fucking arrow through its. It goes through its the side of its arm and right into its heart. That's why there's so much blood pouring out of it.
Oh, that's why I hit it there.
Yeah. Well, those animals, you have to know the anatomy of each individual animal, because animals have their vitals in different areas.
So it's got an arrow in its heart right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's gonna sit there for a couple seconds and then realize it's done. And then
see,
it just
I don't like
drops.
Seeing that shit. I don't like that.
There it is. It's gonna figure it out. Any second now, it just drops.
Wow.
I mean, when you're dealing with an animal that's that big. Any other animal, like a North American animal, would be dead. A bear would be dead. A deer would be dead. Anything that's... But this is just an enormous, gigantic animal.
Are you kidding me right now? Look at this.
Yeah, and it sort of takes a while to just sort of bleed out. And then it wanders off and collapses. He said he ate it, and he put one piece in his mouth, and he chewed it for a half an hour before he could swallow it.
That's some dense muscle.
Not only that, when they were there, they didn't bring any food. They brought just enough snacks to get them through like a day, and they didn't bring any water. So they had to boil all this water, and the water all had buffalo piss in it. So every sip of water they drank was buffalo piss. Oh. There, the thing fell. It's done.
Wait, now this was in Australia?
Yeah, Australia.
I didn't know water buffaloes were in Australia.
Well, they're not native.
Oh, okay.
This is what happened. One of the reasons why they encourage people to go over there and shoot them, they're a non-native invasive species. Okay. They brought them over there, but they don't have any natural predators.
Right.
There's some things that can eat them, like when they're babies, like a crocodile. Crocs. Look at the size of that thing, man. Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
Some things can eat them when they're babies. Yeah, crocodiles mostly.
By the way, he's jacked. He's in shape.
Yeah, he's in very good shape. But like I said, he does all this shit just to train for hunting.
Yep.
This guy, he runs ultra marathons.
He makes a living hunting?
Yeah, he's got a television show, and he's sponsored by a bunch of different companies like Under Armour. Wow. He's a famous bow hunter. But this guy, like, he does ultra marathons. He ran a fucking 100-mile marathon.
He's a beast.
He's an animal. He's just, that's what he does.
And he just does it all bow and arrow style.
That's macho. That's the alpha
Brandon
male right there.
Brandon, after you retire, you're going to need an outlet for all this savage aggression you got inside your body, son.
I'll tell you what I'm not doing.
What?
Waiting 6 hours and shooting a water buffalo.
You say you're not, man.
Nah,
but
man,
I'm
I'll be doing the Ironman marathons.
I don't know, though, Brandon. You like challenge. To hang. You like to hang. I don't see you.
Oh, I'll hang out with you guys. I'll drink beers and stuff the while you challenge. Guys are.
You'll do a lot of jiu-jitsu, I feel.
Oh, love
when
jiu-jitsu.
You retire.
Never stop.
When you retire from fighting, yeah.
Do you have any? I'm going to do the Worlds, actually, in May.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm, in a gi.
Nice. Oh, in a gi.
Yeah.
Whoa. Wow. Do you like training with the gi? Do you feel like
love
that?
It.
Do you feel like it helps you in any way?
I do, because if I have a 250-pound black belt on top of me and I can escape his side control or I can control him, when you take off the gi and these guys are trying to punch me, man, it's easy for me.
Really? That's mm-hmm. interesting. So it's easier to defend because when you're defending with the gi, you're more you have to be more technical.
Well,
saying?
With the gi, I have so much to worry about. I have to worry about gi chokes, collar chokes. The guy can grab me and control me through my gi. You know what I'm saying? So it takes.
So you feel like it's cross-training.
Yes. It takes away my explosiveness and my athleticism, and it forces me to use technique.
I found that with defense for sure. I get caught in a lot of arm bars with the gi that I would have never got caught
with. For sure.
With
but also my defense goes through the roof. For
really?
Sure. Yeah.
So you play a different game when you start doing that. You just become much more technical, much more aware of where the positions are.
Yeah.
How flexible are you, man?
In certain areas, like my hamstrings are really tight, but pretty flexible. Yeah.
Do you have a – well, I shouldn't ask you this because someone fight you might try to exploit it.
What?
Do you work your guard?
Yeah.
Some guys are like, fuck it, I ain't going to be on my back.
That's stupid. No.
Yeah.
Listen, when I get taken down, I've only been taken down twice in the octagon, but I do not care. Like if Hunt was his whole game plan, if he trained all this wrestling, still have a tough time taking me down, but if he trained all this wrestling and decided to put me on my back, cool, let's do it. I'm all game for that. I don't panic down there. I'm very comfortable down there. I spent – because you got to remember, my daycare was Shane Carwin on top of me. I wasn't getting a lot of takedowns. I was on my back all the time.
That's a crazy way to start your training in MMA.
It was horrible. Horrible, man.
So crazy.
What is it like
every day
Grudge?
Just beat me up
that
nonstop.
Trevor Whitman seems like a crazy dude, man.
He's a good dude. I mean,
seems like a very good dude.
Good guy. I haven't been there in years.
But a maniac.
Know?
Like, he had Shane Carwin, they wanted to have Shane Carwin spar with GSP, and GSP was like, what?
Yeah.
Why would I, what?
Yeah.
Why would I spar him? Like, what are you talking about?
And I think back, like, Trevor's a genius when it comes to striking stuff like that, but I think back on it, and there's this thing where I felt like I had to prove to everyone I could hang with Shane Carwin, and no matter, when we were sparring, that's how my footwork got so good, because I'm used to this giant water buffalo, mad water buffalo, chasing me around the octagon, so I was trying to get out of the way because if he landed right hand, it was a short. I mean, it was not good, man.
Yeah.
It was trouble. He hit so hard.
He's got
so I got used to that, right? And I'm moving nonstop. And then when the bell would go ding ding with 30 seconds left, literally, no matter what we're doing, me and Shane would stop, walk to the middle of the cage, and just
duke it out.
Rock 'em, sock 'em, robots.
God damn!
I did that for 3 years, and then finally, a part of me was like, how about no? And I shot a double leg on him, and we've never done that again. Yeah. He got to retired, but I think back on my training, I'm like, God, that was stupid.
Even taking him down. I mean, he's so strong.
He's a big guy.
Strongest guy ever.
He's a big fucking guy, man.
Strong. Well, a lot stronger than you, and you're strong.
Shane is 100% stronger than me. Not even close.
Yeah. He's ridiculously strong. His bone structure is just
He's bigger than Lesnar. His legs are thick, thick ass, huge shoulders. His hands, man.
His hands. When,
before they did, they redid the UFC glove to fit over his hands. Shane's the reason why they changed the glove.
Shane had a 5XL glove.
They had to cut the glove just to get over his hands.
Yeah, his hands are so ridiculous.
Yeah, when you shake them, it's like holding onto a ham.
So what was frustrating to me is, you know, I've always been in love with jiu-jitsu. I would spend... Shane would get injured or he'd have to work. He had a regular job and I was just training full time. And I would think I was being so good at jiu-jitsu. Then Shane would come in off a 9-to-5, you know, shift, walk in like jiu-jitsu, huh? Let's do it. And I'm like, I'm going to roll this big dude up. And he would just shut it all down, man.
When I was training at Amal's, he came by and trained one day and I didn't get to roll with him, but I watched people roll with him and it was like a child playing with
his
daddy.
A bear with a dog.
Like,
I've never experienced
daddy was just like rolling.
And
them over.
And I go with big guys so all. I go with big guys all the time, but none like Shane, man.
Well, he doesn't even look real. When he walked in the door, if I didn't know him, I was like, "What's up, Shane?" Like, but if I didn't know him, I would be
not
like,
"Shane, a peep.
Look at this motherfucker,
dude.
Like, look at the size. He's got legs growing out of his shoulders."
This is how it happened. I was like, "Oh, I want to be a fighter." I knew Nate Marquardt. I looked him up online. Found out where his academy was in Aurora, in my hometown. I show up there. Nate's a great guy, right? He's like, "Yeah, man, we can do this. We'll figure it out. Come tomorrow. There's another big guy. He only has like one fight. He just started fighting, and he played football too." I'm like, "Oh, cool." I show up. It's sparring, right? I show up, and in walks Shane Carwin. At the time, is 315 pounds, fighting the WC, just jacked. Looked like a silverback gorilla that just found the weight room and does nothing else.
I remember when he was really that big. There's a picture of him that doesn't even look real.
It's insane.
Really?
And yeah, Nate goes, "Oh, hey, here's the guy I wanted to introduce you to." And since then, me and Shane sparred, and we just stood toe-to-toe. Neither one of us knew what we were doing, blasting each other in the face.
You've rolled with guys. You had the biggest and the baddest as a training partner forever.
The best, man. He was like an older brother. I couldn't afford private training with Trevor Whitman, and Shane believed in me so much, he paid for my training with Trevor.
Having a guy like you around is invaluable, you know?
Yeah.
Trying to find a giant picture of him.
It was me and him, man. Me and him. He only had, I think, one or two fights at the time. I had zero.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and he was a really good wrestler as well. And his issue, really, he had a lot of issues from football.
Health,
a lot
man.
Of
always.
Neck injuries and back injuries. He had a lot of problems with his back, man. You know, the body's just not designed to have 300-pound dudes running at you full clip.
Well, it's also not designed to be 300 pounds and shredded muscle. It's just not.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Anyone I know, and I know a lot of athletes, right, high-level athletes, anyone who's that big, that lean, and whether they're natural or not, they're always hurt, or they're always sick. For whatever reason, they just have bad immune systems, or they're always getting hurt.
Your body's fighting so much.
Your body,
much.
It's just not.
Look at this.
It's just not.
Yeah, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my
life. That's when he was at his biggest. See if you can find that picture, Jamie.
Looks like just a bodybuilder.
Yeah, I Googled Shane Carwin huge.
Bro, I sparring days, I used to sit in my car outside the gym, and I was so nervous, man. Like, dang, I don't want to do this.
Look at that picture.
Look at him.
Get the fuck out of here. First of all, does not look like a gay porn picture. I mean, that looks like that guy going to pull out his hairless cock and stuff it right in your butthole.
He's all shaved down.
Look at him.
Shaved down.
I mean, there's no way that guy's not going to.
Dude, he's such a monster.
It doesn't even look real. That looks Photoshopped.
He knocked Gabriel Gonzaga out with just.
Yep.
Just.
His arms are so long. One thing I noticed about him is he's got super long arms.
Yeah. Little newsflash, when he fought Frank Mir, he might have hit mitts, I don't know, three times. He was hurt.
What was wrong with him?
His back was getting problems, so he couldn't train a lot.
Wow. That's why he went after him so quick, maybe.
Got that underhook.
And those uppercuts.
Boom. Dropped him, man.
I mean, he was hitting him with lefts, too, right?
Got that right underhook.
Yeah, and he's known for his right hand. And meanwhile, he starched him with the left. He was just such a gorilla. The poor, you know, it's just health problems,
Started late, man.
Yeah, but it's also just the football. All that football. I mean, he had a lot of injuries.
Football, wrestling. Mm-hmm. He's just a rugged dude.
You make a real good point, though, about guys that are that big. Because you're right.
Everyone I know, I'm telling you, one of my best friends, he was in the NFL, not anymore, 6'7", 265, shredded, right? He's just always been that way. Never been on drugs, nothing. Always hurt, man. He had to retire because he was always hurt. Had eight surgeries. Carrying around that kind of weight on your body. And they're always sick. Shane was always sick. His immune system was shit, man.
Well, Shane also worked. That's a hard fucking proposition.
Shane had a full-time job.
Full-time job and be a professional MMA fighter, fighting for titles, fighting
top
contenders.
When Shane and I first started, we both worked 9-to-5 jobs at the time when we very first started. 9-to-5 jobs. We'd both get off. We'd go drive straight to the gym. He would drive an hour. I'd drive like 15 minutes. He'd drive an hour to the gym. And we would be at the gym from 6 to 10:30 at night. We'd do four classes back-to-back.
Hey, we should do a podcast like this, like after UFCs. We should do like one. We'll commit to like one a month.
Let's do it. This is fun as shit, man.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
This is great. I figured like we could talk MMA for days.
Yes.
And throw in crocodiles and fucking terror birds.
We'll do a joint fighter and the kid. We'll do joint fighter and the kid. Like this will be one of our episodes.
Yeah, whatever, man. We could do it. You know, we could record it and both release them simultaneously. We'd do anything. We'd do whatever we want.
I'd love it.
But that would be really fun to break down fights. I'm fucking pumped about Tim Kennedy and Michael Bisping tomorrow night.
This is the other thing with Carwin. What's weird is there's the days of Carwin Lesnar, who you just have these dudes who are gorillas cutting from 300 pounds to 265.
Mm-hmm.
Not that way anymore. The big boys are gone. Now you guys got like Kane, 240. Mm-hmm. Junior Dos Santos, 240.
Yeah.
Big Brown, 240.
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of, they're more athletic.
I agree, and I think that there's a point of diminishing return, right? When you get too big, your body just can't keep it up. It's just, when you saw Kane just running all over Brock, like the pace that he put on Brock. First of all, you're dealing with a Brock that was sick, so it's hard to look at that. Now that we know that the dude had that serious diverticulitis issue, but there was also...
That doesn't mean you turn away from punches, though. Yeah. Go ahead, carry on.
That's a very good point. There's also the issue of trying to deal with a guy who's been striking for a long fucking time, and you are essentially a novice at
it.
You know, and if you can't take the guy down, if you do take the guy...
He did take him down.
He took Kane down, and Kane pops right back up to his feet. Now you have to deal with that pace.
Well, but also mentally for him, he gets guys down, they're screwed.
Exactly.
He took Kane down. Kane got double wrist control, popped up.
Yeah.
And Lesnar was like, damn.
Yeah.
You can see in his face, like, holy shit. That's why when he fought Shane, I was like, this fight's over.
Mm-hmm.
This fight's over. And then they didn't stop it. Second round, Shane was dealing with some problems.
Yeah.
Gasses out. Basically, his body shut down on him, gets choked out. I fought on the same night, right? Fought Brock Lesnar's best friend, training partner. That was the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lesnar, Carwin, training partners fighting each other on Spike, the main card on Spike. I knocked Chris Tuscher out in 50 seconds. So I'm like, he's a big fat slob. And he's 21, though. Tough dude. Wrestling. 21.
How rude. I knocked him out in 20 seconds. He's a big fat slob. He's a nice fucking guy.
He was 20-1, though. 20-1.
He's a tough guy.
Yeah, but I'm all excited.
How dare you?
Yeah, how dare you? I'm all excited. I come running back, right?
I'm not touching that.
Right? I come back. I come back to the locker room, and then Shane's turn to get ready. He's getting ready. I thought he has the fight won. I was crunk, right? Because I won my fight. I've never been so sad in my life when Shane lost that fight. Because we did training camps together. He was like a brother, heavyweight champion.
So close.
It didn't happen. We were both crying, right? Both crying our eyes out in the locker room. Dana White comes in. Goes, everyone leave the room. I'm all, really? He's like, Shab, you can stay. I'm like, thanks, Dana. Shane's literally on the floor with ice on his heart. Ice on his heart because his body's going crazy.
Jeez.
He's laying on the floor. Looks like a giant just gorilla. And he's
ice
sweating. Sweating. Ice on his heart.
Holy shit.
On his hands all
That's
over, right?
Scary.
Dana makes everyone leave the room. He gives Shane a check. I was like, what is it, man? I look. I'm like, oh, shit. Wow. I popped up. Fuck it, man. Let's do this. It was a lot of money. I stopped crying. So did Shane.
Wow. The ice bags melted.
Yep. That's real money.
Yeah, man.
Wow. Well, that was a crazy first round, man. If he paced himself and picked his shots better, you know.
Why would he, though? They should have stopped the fight. He's beating the brakes off
Brock. They shouldn't have stopped the fight. That's why
I've seen fights stop for a lot less.
Okay, but would you have that to be stopped? That was you, and you were okay like Brock was? Brock got back to his corner, and he was all right.
I mean,
he got hit with some big shots.
I agree.
But he defended well.
You know
what?
That's when I got a lot of respect for Brock. After that fight, I was like, all right, he's a legit fighter.
He's legit.
Before then, I was like, no, sign me up.
He got rocked. He got cut. Plenty of time to give up.
Right. That's when you were like, all right, Brock's legit.
He just didn't know how to deal with Kane's hands.
Kane was just too much, and also, he was operating in his estimation at 40%. What does that mean in the real world? Only he knows, but he definitely had diverticulitis then.
Even if he was 100%, Kane beats him.
I agree with you.
An A plus Kane, A plus Brock, horrible matchup for Brock.
But I think it would be a great fight, though. Fun fight while it lasted, but I don't think so.
Really?
You don't think so? I don't know.
Why? Because
Kane's a lot smarter, has more tools, his gas tank's so much better. I think after a while, it would take its toll on Brock and he'd TKO him time after time. Junior Dos Santos will never be the same again.
I don't think so either. No.
Will never, ever be the same again.
Those two fights were fucking insane.
The corner should have threw in the towel.
Yeah, well, you know, when it ended, too, it's crazy because it ended from him falling on his head. He tried to do like a power guillotine on Kane, and Kane ducked under, and Junior was so tired, and he had taken such a beating that he's holding on to this guillotine, and he literally falls forward right onto his head, and like stuns himself, and then they stop the fight. But the beating that he took up until that, there was four times where Herb Dean was like moving close to stop the fight, and then Junior's heart pulled through.
It was insane.
Junior Dos Santos does not fucking give up. That's one thing. He had as many opportunities to give up as a human being ever gets in life, and he will not give up.
It's tough, right? And I think about this. It's tough because if Junior came 5 years ago, he's the champ for a long time.
Yeah.
But because there's this group of guys, and it's about matchups. The UFC's about matchups. Mm-hmm. Kane Velasquez, Junior Dos Santos, Junior will never beat him, right? He got that one lucky shot. Other than that, those guys fight 100 times. Kane's winning 99 usually. He just is. If Junior fights Verdum, Travis Brown, he's probably going to win. It's just matchups, man.
Who is a better matchup for you, Verdum or Alistair Overeem?
I mean, that's random as hell, but
It's so
when you
different.
See a guy like Alistair that was at a very high level in kickboxing, came over, fought Lesnar, looked fantastic, but then you see him in the Bigfoot fight post getting popped. He got popped for testosterone. You see him in the Bigfoot fight, and then you see him in the Travis Brown fight. How much do you think he's lost from not having?
This is the thing, though. That like he's destroying these guys,
right?
You don't want to be that guy in the first 2 minutes fighting right. Alistair Overeem. It is a nightmare.
But he didn't fight that way against Mir. He was very controlled.
Hey, thanks for that fight. Mir, what the fuck are we doing? What did you do all training camp? What are we doing?
I don't think
you did nothing.
What are you saying?
Nothing. He didn't throw a punch.
Well, I don't think he could hit him. I mean, I think he was having a real problem dealing with that guy.
Do something, man.
I wonder what their game plan was.
I would love to hear it.
I bet the game plan was figured out how to tire him out and get him down to the ground. I bet that was probably the game plan. Stay on the outside,
and Overeem's was be very conservative, mm-hmm. don't gas out.
And Overeem's is also control him on the ground. You know, he wasn't afraid of going to the ground with Frank Mir.
He did control the heck out of him.
Which is pretty shocking. You know, Frank's a hell of a grappler and really good off his back. People forget that Alistair won the Abu Dhabi European Trials, though. Alistair can grapple.
He has a nasty guillotine.
Yes, yeah, he submitted Vitor. Yes. Submitted Vitor with a guillotine.
He submitted Mark Hunt via Kimura.
Yeah, that's right. And a weird one, too.
I told Hunt if he needed, I would open up a jiu-jitsu school for him in New Zealand. So he had an idea what's going on the ground.
Well, didn't you guys make some sort of a bet? Like, you would try to knock him out and he would try to submit you? Wasn't there something along those lines?
Yeah, we and him were talking smack on Twitter, and then we got into this winner takes all, and he started clowning how he's going to knock me out and stand on my
big
lips.
We should get
lips.
Him on The Fighter and the Kid. Let's see if he'll come on.
Stand on your big lips.
Interview. I was like, what?
What's wrong with your lips?
Stand you don't on like your big lips?
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to stand on your big lips and knock you out.
I think he means because you talk a lot.
Yeah, or
I that's
well, I have
means.
Big lips, so it's confusing.
You have a, you, know you should have shot
nice.
Back. I have
they're
a full mouth.
They're good. Yeah,
I wouldn't say they're like really big. Like,
I'd say
I've met
it's a
lot
full
of black
mouth.
Guys.
It's a legit full mouth.
I look like Lionel Richie good for sure. Yeah.
I wouldn't describe you that way. Like, describe Brendan Schaub. Oh, the lips. He's got these big lips.
I describe him as Big Brown. That's his
nickname. Yeah, me and him got on it on Twitter.
I'm trying to get his nickname changed from Hybrid to Big Brown.
Dude, this guy starts with Big Brown.
Why Big Brown?
He's Big Brown. He's just big and brown. That's why everybody calls him Big Brown now. He's walking
what
through.
What is your nationality? What is your nationality?
My mom's full-blooded English.
That's bullshit.
Born and raised in England.
You're Apache. Bro.
Born and raised in
Jewish
England.
Jewish and Apache.
My dad's German, a little bit Italian, French.
Native American and Jewish, 100%. I don't care what anybody says. You got some
did you ever do your genome test to see if anybody's lying?
No. I need to.
Someone fucking Neanderthal on your
his
past.
Father looks
no
exactly,
one looks like me.
His
no
dad,
one looks
well,
like
your
me.
Dad looks exactly like the crying Indian from those commercials in the 70s. And I mean exactly. And even got watery eyes, by the way. The only thing missing is the braids and the long hair.
Well, here's something to consider. When someone talks about someone being German or someone being Italian or someone being anything, yeah, maybe, but who knows how they got to Germany or Italy 17
right, sure.
generations before.
Exactly.
Who knows where any
it,
of those Germanic people came from.
Yeah. Doesn't it all lead back to like some
Africans.
Yeah, African,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. yeah.
You do so, not you do, tell them what tell the story about
we're all from
about
Africa.
Kimbo Slice.
Kimbo Slice when on you, Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, when you guys were doing that.
They didn't even show this on the air, so this guy, I'm not going to mention his name, on the show, he lost, and you can drink all the alcohol you want in the house. And there's only, at the time, there's only four of us left still fighting. Roy, Marcus Jones,
Mitrione,
and myself. That's the four fighting, right?
So one of you guys, one of the other guys is hammered.
Hammered. He's lost, right? Hammered, wasted. All of a sudden, this guy gets super racist in the house. And there's a bunch of black guys in the house. Starts talking about how his wife loves him because the Aryan Nation, and starts throwing up racial slurs and throwing up these, you know, the Hey Hitler stuff, Heil Hitler stuff.
Write his name on this piece of paper for me.
All right. Dude, this isn't getting out though, right?
No. I just need to know for my own edification.
So he starts doing all this stuff. I'm sleeping. I have the biggest fight of my life the next day. Dana White literally stops us in the car and goes, listen, if whoever makes to the finale, whether you win or not, you're going to be a superstar. It's huge, man. Biggest season we've ever had. You guys want to win this fight. Thank you. No pressure. So I'm sleeping, and I'm sleeping on the ground, and I thought it was a dream. Kimbo Slice and Marcus Jones and this D'Amico Rogers comes in my room, and they go, yo, Shab, get up, dog. Get up, man. And I'm like, huh? Why are there three large black guys around my bed? Kim goes, yo, man, this dude's down there talking about our people. We're about to jack him up. I thought I was in a dream. I go, excuse me? He's talking about our people, dog. Let's go F this dude up. I'm like, listen, you guys realize, I said, I'm not down with the race thing. I'm totally down to fuck this dude up. But you realize I'm not black, right? Kim goes, you ain't black? I go, no, man. He goes, damn, that's crazy. Turn around, leave, and I hear, that's why I like Shab. You can't tell what the hell he is. I keep going. And then I go, hey, Kimbo, that's racist, dog. He goes, why? I go, just because I'm athletic and can fight, I got to be black. He goes, you could be, and keep going.
Wow, that's interesting, man.
Yeah.
That's a crazy, fucking right? Weird situation to be in, too.
What?
A trained killer who's also an Aryan Nation guy. Scary. Is he mic'd up while this is going on, too?
He's mic'd up, and they have to escort him out of the house.
Why didn't they put that on the show?
That's not good for ratings.
Fuck yeah, it is.
Nah.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-mm. Oh, white supremacist?
Didn't show any of it, man.
That guy never fought again, did he? Did he?
No.
Interesting. Too many clues. We know people are going to know who this is.
They'll figure it out.
Tough shit.
Bad news.
That's fascinating. It is bad news.
6 years ago.
Yeah, they have to make a decision, right? Whether you put that on the TV or not.
We didn't need it, though. The ratings were so high, and then you want to toss something. Highest ratings ever, by the way. Tough 10. Whoop, whoop.
Was it really the highest ratings ever?
Nothing's even
Kimbo
close.
Slice, that's why.
Kimbo Slice.
Isn't that crazy?
I'll never forget, man, when we walk in the house, right? Or we walk in the gym, you're staring at everyone. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know any of these guys. In walks Roy Nelson. I'll never forget this. Matt Mitrione goes, look at the fat ass. And I'm all, bro, that's Roy Nelson. He goes, who's that? I go, he's like a world champ, man, IFL. He has like 30 fights. What the fuck? And Matt's like, ah, it's nothing, man. And then Dana was hyping up everyone going, do you realize there's 15 guys here? There's 16 total, though. We're bringing a special guest. They hype this thing up. Everyone's wanting everyone. I lean over to Roy. I go, bro, you know who they're about to bring in? And there's big talks at the time. Can you imagine if they did this? I said, Fedor's about to walk through that motherfucker. We're all screwed. I have three fights. They're about to bring Fedor into the Ultimate Fighter house.
Disaster.
Yeah. And that's why when they're like, bring him in, and in walks Kimbo Slice, I thought it was going to be Fedor. That's why I look over at Matt and I go, oh, fuck Kimbo Slice. And that's the very first way people saw me on national TV is me saying fuck Kimbo Slice.
That's hilarious.
Oh my God.
I thought it was going to be Fedor, man. I was all nervous.
You really thought it was going to be Fedor? Oh my God. Somebody needs to talk to you.
I know.
Why would Fedor do the Ultimate Fighter?
I don't know. Maybe they pay him like a jagillion dollars and he's like, hey, just tear up these kids with three fights.
You know what's crazy? What's really that would be funny. You know what's really crazy, though, is that Kimbo Slice would get more ratings.
That's weird. It's weird.
More people knew who Kimbo Slice was back then because of YouTube, right. Like the casual person,
yeah.
Than knew who Fedor was.
Yep. I'll tell you what, Kimbo, one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Very nice guy.
So cool.
Yeah.
Taught me how to fight with a shank. What?
Did
what?
Did
yeah, man.
Is there rules?
Well, you leave this arm so they can scrape that arm. They got the knife in this one, man.
Right.
It was dope. Wow. While he was barbecuing, and if he's listening, he needs to open up his barbecue restaurant called Kimbo's. Man, that guy could grill like no one's business.
Really?
He'd make this barbecue sauce. Man.
He'd make his own sauce?
Yeah.
What would he put in it?
He'd have honey, mustard, all sorts of stuff.
So he just knew what he was doing.
Oh, knew what he was doing.
What did he barbecue? Ribs? What?
Ribs. I mean, there's steaks. Oh, really? Dude.
He's a chemist. A chemist.
He was so cool, jacked. Man. He was so cool.
Good eating.
Yeah.
He is just a natural athlete. I mean, he's just
big, strong guy. He's got some serious knee problems, man.
I wouldn't call him that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he's a natural athlete.
Man. Well, he's a tough guy.
Tough guy.
Real knee problems. Though, for sure. Bone on bone arthritis in his knees. That's why he left MMA. Tried to do some boxing.
And he also wasn't winning.
Well, he wasn't winning, but look, he made some improvement. He definitely made some improvement, but it was the knees. His knees were fucked. They weren't going to get any better.
He made some money.
He made some money. Yeah, he makes a ton of money as security for Icy Mike and Reality Kings Porno. His best friend is Icy Mike, who owns Reality Kings.
Oh, wow.
Well, holla at your boy.
Yeah. I wonder if they're making any money more. Is it tough to make money in the
Reality
Kings?
Well, it's free now, right? Like you porn. Why am I going to pay a subscription to Reality Kings?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, what you have to be like a real fan. To pay,
you'll be a real psycho.
I think they make. I think they make
I said
money.
Fan, you went with psycho.
Psycho,
like
you'll be a real psycho, jacking off about 10 times a day for a membership.
But there are dudes that become like fans of a girl, just like they become fans of a band.
Again, if you're my friend and you're a fan of a girl and you pay for a membership, lose my number. Don't ever
if you
call
don't
me.
Like kids, or if you're a fan of girls,
lose my number.
No, if you pay for a membership because you like one certain porno star, you're a psycho.
That's right.
Well, there's some guys that have very specific tastes, like they only like Asian broads.
Yeah.
That's it. Asian girls only.
Cody's like that.
Porno, yeah. Asian
porno. I'm an
porno.
Equal opportunity employer.
Me too. I don't hate.
Yeah.
I encourage everybody.
Well, how about guys who say they never jerk off to porn? Ever.
Oh, yeah, it's weird.
Blatant lie.
They don't use porn, and if they jerk off, it's to their imagination.
Mm. Again, lose my number. They're lying for sure.
I don't know. I think some people actually do have a problem with porn. They don't like it. They don't like the fact that they think that people are being victimized in some way that, you know,
I've never
one
met
person
a guy
is making
this.
A lot of money. I have. I definitely
really?
Have.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I've met people.
I hate to say this, but I watched a lecture on TED.com called Why I Stopped Watching Porn, and this really, really eloquent dude was talking about why it's damaging. And ever since I listened, it's almost like now that I know football causes head injuries, it's literally like now I
don't
feel
be
guilty.
Lame.
I'm just telling
don't
you.
Don't be lame. Lose my
you guys
lose
balance number. Each other out so well.
Lose my
it's
number.
It's one of the reasons
lose
why your podcast
number.
Is so good. You guys balance each other out so well. I was telling Brian, someone needs to be in the room with him to let him be him. Because if you leave him by himself, he goes, by the way, Thoreau once theorized that he's the reason why this passion exists.
Dude, he called me up. He heard the. He heard me doing the Elliot Hulse thing, and he goes, "Hey, bro." He goes, "Let me ask you something, man. You're one of the funniest people I know. Somebody should sue you for misrepresenting who you really are on your podcast.
For sure.
Why are you lecturing?
You should sue yourself. I said,
just be funny, Brian. I hate when you're serious, Brian.
Everyone loves
the
exact same thing.
I didn't say I hate when you're serious, Brian. I said you're two different people.
Yeah.
I said there's you who's really you, and there's you and it goes into lecture mode.
Fake. Like,
why am I doing that? I don't even
know
why.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess probably everybody does it. I'm sure I do it to a certain extent, but you
do
it in a very extreme way.
I have these really smart people
excited
about.
You know when he did it? You know when he did it? On our biggest podcast, when I re-signed my new UFC contract, I go, Dana, I'm going to come inside my contract. You mind if you're on my podcast?
You did that with Dana White,
In his office, Brian sits down and goes, Mr. White, where did you get your inspiration from? I go, what?
Did you call him Mr. White? First of all, you son of a bitch.
I just didn't know him. No, I didn't. But I didn't know him.
He was dead
serious. But for the story, I did. But I didn't know him, so I didn't know whether he had a sense of humor.
You met him with me before, you fuck.
Yeah, but not really, like, you know, talk to him. And now I know he loves – he's
opportunity's gone. It's gone. Back to the porno stars, though. I got a buddy who's dating a porno star.
I
want
to know what he did during the podcast that made you upset.
You can listen to it, man. You can listen to it in the Fighter and the Kid podcast.
Did you overtalk? Did you overtalk a little bit?
Not really.
No, it was just so serious.
I didn't talk enough.
Like, the reason why the Fighter and the Kid works –
Did he fuck it up?
No. I just
the reason why
serious.
The Fire Kid works is because we get serious people, right? And we're clowns, man.
Right.
We get them out of their elements. We make things fun. We tell stories.
We did a great one with Ronda Rousey recently.
We tell stories. Well, with Dana, he's like, where do you see yourself in 10 years?
No way. You really said that?
I don't know what I said. Like questions like that.
What are you, a chick?
We have really good arguments on the podcast. We have serious arguments about like whether or not Rana should take me or him on the zombie apocalypse, all kinds of
obviously
stuff.
Obviously, she's taking me.
Yeah, obviously.
She's that wasn't much of an argument
what
at all.
What kind of a conversation? What are you going to provide?
I said I would take Tim Kennedy.
Do you know the poisonous mushrooms or something?
Yeah, I do. I know a lot of stuff. But
you would take Tim Kennedy?
I said Tim Kennedy, and I immediately regret saying that as soon as
Why
I said
is that?
It. Because they gave a scenario where all the zombies, everyone's a zombie, so it's only you and one other person. So we couldn't procreate, right?
Right. You don't want to take Kim Kennedy. Can't get him pregnant.
Rhonda goes, I'd be a good breeding.
She said I'm an ovarian gold mine.
The army. Yeah. You need a breeding.
That's true. You'd be breeding warriors.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good move. Yeah, she's the only choice. There's a couple other choices, but for you, that's the only choice. You can't take Tim Kennedy. You can't get him pregnant. By the way, if you were the only two people on Earth and you had to fucking die and leave your kids to fend for themselves against zombies, you might want to take everybody out in their sleep. And then do yourself. You might want to fucking end it.
Yeah.
For real. If you're the last two people on Earth and the world is filled with zombies.
You don't want to fight at all,
No. Drown. Swim out as far as you can go. That's what I say.
Just go all the way out.
Fuck that. Last person on Earth?
Yeah.
Look, being a human being.
I know who I'm not taking a foxhole. You two. As soon as things get a little shady.
That's a foxhole.
Rogan, shoot. Foxhole's
a war.
He shot himself.
Foxhole's a war. We're talking about everybody being dead except for you and this one chick. What kind of life is that? Your baby's
going to
be behind?
It's going to be pretty dope.
You're going to have to fuck your kids. Do you understand that, how procreation works?
I do,
Someone's going to have to fuck your kids. Your kids are going to have to fuck each other. No.
It'll be the Garden of Eden.
They're going to have to try to survive, and they still might get eaten by zombies?
Well, you guys are giving up.
Oh, what are you going to do? You going to fuck your kids?
You going to
fuck your kids
to
keep the race
alive?
You're
going to look for other people. You're going to be looking for other
people.
You're
going to
look for other people.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. If you know for sure.
How would you know for sure? You don't know for sure.
You'd have to know for sure.
You kill yourself. Or you just figure out I'm here for a reason. What is it? Maybe I can figure something out.
It's a good point though. You wouldn't really know for sure.
You wouldn't know, but you two are giving up. So
like
that's
I Am Legend.
Good to know.
I Am Legend was really like the first Walking Dead, right? Remember
for
when
sure,
they found the camp at the end and everybody was safe?
Yep.
But those monsters are way scarier than the Walking Dead
monsters. They were.
Walking Dead, sign me up. I'm just gonna run everywhere. They walk.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna run I'm gonna cut down to about 170. I'm gonna have a nice pair of kicks.
Cut down to 170.
And I'm just gonna run everywhere.
All cardio.
Yeah, all cardio.
Well, that was Zombieland.
That shit.
Remember the beginning?
Oh yeah, have good cardio. Yeah. That's right.
That show's a little too moody for me.
It's getting ridiculous. They're eating people now. It's like it's so they found a cannibal fucking colony.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, I guess, but there's plenty of deer left, too. It's not like the zombies are eating deer. Or they eat a few of them, but they can't catch them. I don't understand why everybody gets guns when you can have a sword. I mean, it's good to have guns, but that chick never gets fucked with.
Fuck a
she
sword.
Just jacks everything with swords.
Yeah, because you run out of bullets with a sword, you're just chopping heads off.
Yeah, you could got to reload a rifle. It takes a couple of seconds. You got a fucking 100 zombies coming at you. It takes a long time to put 100 bullets in a chamber.
Well, good luck if 100 zombies are coming. You're going to take a sword and start just swinging around
everywhere. Fuck yeah. You take them a couple at a time, and you do it for about an hour, and you got 100 dead zombies.
Until you get the zombie like Shane Carwin, who knows single legs and...
Zombies don't learn anything. They don't even know how to use doors. You don't pay attention. You don't even watch that show. You can't be in this conversation.
Please exit the conversation, sir.
They don't even unscrew doors.
Have you seen World War
you
Z?
You just lock
you seen
door.
World War Z?
Yes.
A little different.
They're that's different kind
different.
Of zombies.
Yeah.
Those are the scary, fast zombies.
Yes, that's where we're all screwed.
The scariest zombies of all time are the 28 Days Later zombies. You remember that?
Yes.
And not only that, because that's the most likely scenario.
Yeah,
it was a disease like rabies.
A monkey, right?
Yeah. They called it RAGE, a genetically created disease, a modified disease, a weaponized disease. It escapes from the chimps and gets into people and then spreads like wildfire. Yeah. That's when you think about what rabies does to animals.
And people.
And people.
People, if somebody has rabies and you get them near a body of water, if they get near a body of water, they get so hysterical you have to chain them down.
Really?
They will go
Why
crazy.
Water?
I don't know.
Are you making this up?
Water. They have you get a
crazy, like,
huge
aggressive
water,
or like
a huge water phobia. From,
they get afraid of the water.
Yeah, afraid.
When's the last time someone got rabies?
What if
rabies
comes from an animal?
Rabies before vaccines. Rabies was
No, I'm talking right
disease.
Now.
No. People have gotten it really recently.
Really?
Being bit by animals. Yeah. I wonder if rabies comes from an animal and that animal has memories of drowning.
Look it up. Look up.
Imagine that shit.
Phobia.
Like we were talking about the mice and the mice giving the remembering the smell with the electric shock.
It taps into a part of your brain where you actually go crazy. First of all, you go crazy. That's why the animal will bite you. They go crazy. They start to drool and they're also very
aggressive.
Yeah,
I'm not making this up. I had a dog bite me in the ass cheek and had rabies when I was a kid.
Really?
And you had to get a bunch of shots.
And
in
guess
your
what?
Stomach.
I'm not scared
horrible
of
shots.
Dogs.
Yeah.
All right.
You had to get shots in your stomach.
Not me.
You know, the right dogs, you'd be scared, bro.
Scared of snakes.
You ever put a, I put a bite suit on in Afghanistan and had dogs attack me.
Whoa, where?
In Afghanistan. I was in Afghanistan.
I hate it, too.
Afghanistan?
He switches it up, too. Sometimes I say it the way you're supposed to.
It's so weird.
If he's around, by the way, if he's around, like, real military guys, he takes that shit down a few notches. He doesn't go Afghanistan.
Because he knows what's up.
Because then they'll go, what? And you'll hear, like, silence.
Because they think I'm a plant. They think I'm an Al-Qaeda plant. Like, Afghanistan.
No, they don't think you're a plant. They think you're a fraud. Fucking dork. They think you're a plant. They put a plant on Mad TV.
I lived in the Middle East 8 years of my life. Don't blame me.
Yeah.
But, Afghanistan.
Dude, they released these
hydrophobia,
dogs.
Fear of water, historic name for rabies. Wow. It's the historic name for rabies. Refers to a set of symptoms. The later stages of an infection with the victims has difficulty swallowing, shows panic when presented with liquids to drink, and can't quench its thirst. Wow. So I guess that's what it is. Like, they're scared of water because they know if they got it in their mouth. Wow.
Or even intentional suggestion of drinking may cause excruciating painful spasms of the muscles in the throat and larynx.
Wow. Suggestion of drinking may cause excruciatingly painful spasms.
Yet you're really thirsty. Great disease.
What a
thank
fuck.
You, vaccines. That's thank insane. You, vaccines.
Yeah. Thank you. The fact they can shoot you when you get bit.
Yeah.
They horrible yeah, needles in your stomach.
Yeah.
You know, big giant needles in your fucking stomach.
Tetanus is another really bad. Do you know the symptoms of tetanus? Look those up. Look up the symptoms of tetanus.
Ugh,
that is the worst.
Horrible.
Your whole body seizes up, and before you die, you're very acutely aware of all the pain.
Hey, did you see this shit where John Jones is requesting that Glover Teixeira get drug tested?
Oh, no.
It's kind of fascinating. Mm. He says...
Did they agree to VADA testing?
Well, this is what he says. This is his exact quote. He says, some fighters, you just know they're not on anything just by looking at them. I kind of disagree with that, because, like... Guys like that look like Jeremy Horn, who doesn't look like he's on anything, have tested positive. Like, just because a guy has like a certain body type doesn't mean that he can't be on something.
Right.
Like, a lot of guys have tested positive.
A lot of guys take I think
you're talking about the exception there again.
Perhaps. But those are often the guys that wind up taking it. Like, okay, here's a perfect example. Tim Sylvia. A lot of folks don't know. Like, Tim Sylvia tested hot. And before Tim Sylvia tested hot, like, look at what he looked like when he fought Rico Rodriguez.
Right.
I think that Tim Sylvia that beat Rico Rodriguez is one of the scariest heavyweights ever.
I agree.
Tim Sylvia.
Great takedown defense. Great striking.
Monster right hand.
Monster.
They just, you know, he couldn't keep that fucking, you know,
he had tires
everything.
Hanging off the side, mm-hmm. and I think he was getting criticized for it, and I feel like that's why he did steroids.
I think you're right. I mean, he'd always like
he wanted to look
to
like he wanted to look the part.
A little, bit, a little embarrassed of his body. Like,
well, you know. A little bit, but I also think that it benefited him physically the way he pull up Tim Sylvia versus Rico Rodriguez. That's Tim when he was like retired from the UFC. Now that's Tim versus Rico Rodriguez. You see that image? Look how fucking lean he was and big. He was a dangerous motherfucker. And he was eating Rico's leg kicks and dropping right hands on him.
So dangerous.
Pull up the video if you could find the video. He was a scary guy.
Such
a
monster.
He also struggled to get down to 265 mm-hmm. for that fight.
He was struggled enormous. To get down to 265.
Yeah, he missed weight. He missed weight the first
what
time.
What did he walk
he
around
back.
At?
I don't know, but he was big.
So John's saying...
And not just big, like not fat, but big shoulders
huge,
and neck.
Huge. Such a monster.
Yeah.
John's saying Glover is on stuff.
Part of Glover Teixeira's mystique is his amazing physical strength, and I just questioned it. I have no reason to think he's on steroids, but I do wonder how someone could be so strong. He says, I'm sure I have fought guys in the past that were on steroids. I think it's pretty well documented. A lot of people haven't really argued with it because they know it's a true statement. I know it's a true statement. I called Dana White and said, I want Glover to take steroid tests for this fight. He asked me, what do you think he's on steroids? And I told him, I don't know. I have no reason to accuse him of anything, but I would like to be sure.
How can you be mad at that? You can't be mad at that.
I don't know,
it's fair.
I'm not mad at that at all. I mean, if he came out and was like, hey, Glover's on stuff,
there's
that would
Tim
be an issue.
There's Tim Sylvia when he fought Rico.
Good so takedown take defense. Down.
Wow, look at that. Big, shuck that off.
Big motherfucker, too. Rico had a good guard, too, man. Rico's
great guard,
a legit
yes.
Machado black belt.
For sure.
Tim Sylvia was scary back then, man.
Super scary.
And he knocked a lot of guys out, man. A lot of people sleep on Tim Sylvia. He never gets brought up because he had sort of a dispute with the UFC, but head kick Trey Teligman knocked him out. And Tim Sylvia was not a natural athlete, by the way.
Not at all.
This is all from toughness and training.
Yep.
I mean, he's pigeon-toed, in fact.
Yep.
His feet, like, naturally went towards each other. And here he stuffs a takedown again. roughs him up on the ground. And Tim Sylvia back then, you know, I mean, you're dealing with a guy really. I mean, this Rico's got a good fucking high guard here. Yeah, and it's a like I said, a legit Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, very high level black belt, especially at the time. You know, at the time, Rico was one of very few Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belts in the heavyweight division. There wasn't a lot of guys. Well,
did you see him sit in O'Gara's guard? Mm-hmm. Wrist control.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. He Tim Sylvia at this time, I think, was one of the scariest guys ever.
I agree with you.
But it was, you know, who knows how much of it was hard training, first of all, for sure. It was definitely some steroids involved. I mean, he look at that. Look at that. Whipped over for that armbar. That was pretty fucking sweet.
Damn.
That was pretty fucking sweet. Yeah. Spikes him, gets out of it. That was a goddamn sweet armbar. Rico had a nasty armbar.
I'll tell you what. Rico had a nice little appearance on Celebrity Rehab, too. I watched it, all of it.
Oh, no.
With Dr. Drew.
What was wrong with him? What kind of what was he doing?
Everything.
Oh, drugs. Oh.
He likes a little booger sugar.
He likes to have a good time. And
he was known for partying.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He likes to have a good time, that Tim Sylvia. I mean, that Rico Rodriguez. Rico,
yeah.
Rico Rodriguez is a...
I'm not mad at
him. He's a fun guy, man. He's a fun guy to hang around with. And there's the right hand. He starts keeping the fight standing.
I'll tell you what. My only experience with Rico, the only time I ever met him, he was cornering Tito Ortiz. We're on the same card. And he's looking at the corner, and he goes... Who in the hell's Schwab fighting Gonzaga? And I go, right behind you, man. He goes, you're Schwab? Yeah, he goes, good luck, man, and walks away. And I was like, wow, thanks, man. Went in there. I beat the brakes off Gonzaga for 3 rounds, striking clinic. Walked back in. He's like, damn, great job, man. Give me a hug.
Yeah. What a dick. Yeah. What a dick to say. That's a fucking mind fuck, former UFC heavyweight
for
champion.
For sure. And I was a fan. I was like, oh, thanks, bro.
Who said this to you?
Rico Rodriguez.
Oh, Richard. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. That's really funny.
Funny, right? Made me feel like shit. I was like, damn.
That's a fucking bad time to feel like shit. Did you see this?
No, what
Bisping
is this?
Bisping and Tim Kennedy. Fucking Tim Kennedy at the press conference. Bisping was swearing at him. Fuck you. You fuck. You fuck this.
Chael
fuck
and I were talking about this. Bisping legitimately makes a reason to hate you to get ready for the fight.
Yeah, look at this. Meanwhile, you know,
who do you have in that fight?
He's trying to scare Tim Kennedy, who's been to war.
Tim Kennedy has been through a lot
of Tim's just guys. Grinning, man.
He's killed a lot of bad guys. Like, the difference between the fear that he's experienced and the fear of, like, a fight and the preparation for a fight, this is like a vacation for him. It really
Kennedy
is.
Is rough.
His rough mental toughness is crazy.
You're not messing with
him. Listen, he is as tough as a human being can
hands
get.
Down. Yeah. Roger Gracie had his back. Guy was... Cool, like he was chilling on the beach.
Yeah.
Did not care.
Yeah.
Double wrist control.
Special force. We saw a lot of combat.
It's a different world, man. That world of
in
fear.
In firefights.
Yeah, in firefights. Killed bad guys.
Yeah.
You know, that's his thing.
Fighting Bisbing's probably not that much for him.
Life and death.
Yeah, bullets, life and death. Life and death. Yeah. I mean, some of the stories that he tells about his firefights and the things that he can't remember how many firefights he's been in.
How about that?
Yeah. And then
who do you have in that fight?
Mouthing off.
It's a good fight. It's a good fight. It's a good fight.
Kennedy. Look, Bisping's always
Michael
really
Bisping
good.
Has a fucking tremendous pace that he can keep. Yeah. Michael Bisping has a fucking 34 hearts beat per minute resting heart rate.
That's crazy.
Incredible.
That's like the Shane
He
Kong
is fit
thing.
As
I mean,
fuck. It's the opposite
Shane,
of Frank,
Kane,
Shane
Kane
Carwin.
Kane Velasquez.
Well, Kane is a freak of nature, man. He really is a freak of nature when it comes to his cardio. You talk to Bob Cook, he says that Kane will take like a month off, get injured, come back in, outwork everybody. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, he doesn't have these like break-in periods where he has to get back in shape. And some of that is just genetic. Look,
sure.
Just like some people have incredible fast twitch muscle fiber, we've met guys that have never lifted weights and they're fucking gigantic, big calves and shit. Like,
weird.
Guy doesn't even lift weights.
But look at Kane. I wouldn't say Kane's really explosive. If he kind of has that softer body, where his endurance is going to be higher. Mm-hmm. It's 100% genetics.
Yeah. Well, he definitely doesn't have the same kind of explosion.
Could you look at guys like Hector Lombard?
Right.
Who's just
right.
Jacked to the gills. Mm-hmm. His ears have freaking traps. You know, he's just like swole, all explosiveness.
No one's more explosive than Hector.
I agree.
He's the most explosive guy that's ever fought in MMA. What he's right up there with Melvin Manhoof.
I think he's even more explosive than Melvin.
I think so too because of the judo.
And they said, Hector, your giant swole muscles, let's give you the vegan Jake Shields. Let's see how this goes. And fight.
And fight.
And fight. Well, vegan steroids.
Jake caught his
fight.
Neck. Jake caught his neck with the last remaining seconds of the fight.
That was
he caught
close,
his neck
man.
And was hanging on. Jake's got a goddamn vice for a grip. When he gets that guillotine, man, he tightens that shit up on Robbie Lawler. He tightens that shit up on everybody. And you don't think he's going to be able to get it. Like, there's a lot of guys that think they can get out of that.
Oh, yeah.
Jake's strong as
fuck. I'm actually going to train with him on Friday in San Francisco.
Yeah. Hector Lombard, motherfucker, hit some judo throws in this fight against Jake Shields that you just, like, he ragdolled him.
If ever there's a reason why, hey, Dad, why can't I be vegan?
Look at this. Boom! Watch that again.
It's insane.
Just back that up again. And just back that up to that judo toss. To back it up all the way. To do this in a world-class grappler like Jake Shields is just insane. Watch this. Boom!
Dang.
And he does
That's
it
so
with
beautiful.
Perfect technique and speed. And he's one of those storms of like athleticism and technique. And really, you know, started striking once he was already an Olympic judoka.
For sure. Yes.
I mean, that's when he started his striking. So he prefers to keep fights standing just because he's such a fucking specimen.
Oh, you want to be a vegan? I'm gonna play that tape for you.
But
you
want to
be a vegan? Here, watch this fight.
Like, in all fairness, when you talk about a style like Jake Shields, it's kind of like what we were talking about.
Couldn't be a worse matchup.
Yeah.
They were trying to get rid of him.
Well, I don't think so. They were just trying to give him a fight that was going to be a really tough fight.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they just, it's like if you want to be in the top 10 and he wanted a title shot, like if he beat, look, what if he caught him with that guillotine the first round and finished it? You know, he's likely in the short list for a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
If he could finish a
he's
guy
won basically
like Hector
five in
Lombard.
A row. That'd be five in a row.
But you
yeah.
see a guy like Hector Lombard, that style of fucking sprinting, you can't do it for three rounds. Can
not
you
a
even do it for five rounds?
Well, I want to see
not
him fight
chance.
Tyron Woodley. I think he's going to fight him.
Woodley's fighting
well,
Rory.
Woodley's
man.
Fighting Rory.
That's
Rory
a great fight.
McDonald versus Woodley's a fantastic fight,
amazing
especially
fight.
If the Rory that beat Damian Maia shows up. If Rory is motivated and aggressive,
killer.
He's got to get the fuck away from Woodley in that first round, though,
yeah.
buddy. Woo!
Jesus.
And Woodley, it's you know, Woodley can move as fast as any fucking human being in the UFC. I don't care if they're 135 pounds.
I agree.
At 170, that fucking dude can move like a fast 135.
He's just that explosive.
He's as big as you can ever get and be a world-class 170-pounder. And it's an interesting situation because, you know, there's a lot of, like, there's debate after I talked about it on the broadcast about, like, this body type, it has its benefits for sure as far as explosion and speed, but it also has a lot of requirements,
yeah.
like for oxygen.
Yeah.
And it's like, can a guy take it deep into the rounds? What happens if a guy survives fourth and fifth? Because when Nate beat him in the fourth round. Marquardt stopped him in the Strikeforce welterweight
yeah.
title fight.
Yeah.
And that's what happened, is Nate caught him slowing down, and Nate then was before he's had a couple of these bad knockouts,
yeah.
like the knockout against yeah. Hector Lombard.
Nate's as tough as it gets.
The knockout against
Ellenberger. When he fought Tyron Woodley, you're talking about Nate Marquardt, who was
at his
the,
best.
Yeah.
And but his back against the wall, too, because he'd been kicked out of the UFC. Finally gets back into Strikeforce, and he gets a shot at the title at Strikeforce. It's a big fight. And, you know, Nate was, like, primed. He was in his prime. But, you know, look, a guy like Tyron Woodley, who's a superior athlete, he's just an elite athlete, is still learning the MMA skills. But it's like what we were talking about before, is that what you're seeing now is guys who are on an athletic level like you've never had the UFC before.
Right.
Like, go back to UFC 1, and, you know, you watched, like, you know,
yeah,
some of these guys who are
guys, yeah.
decent athletes,
yeah.
good athletes, you know, tough guys, and had incredible balls to get into the UFC at that time. Put Tyron Woodley in UFC 1.
It's crazy.
You know?
Crazy.
Royce Gracie ain't taking that dude down.
No.
That's not happening.
Nothing's happening.
There's
yeah.
nothing happening.
It's just the evolution of the sport.
Yeah. I mean, if you watch, like, when Tyron Woodley beat, like, Jay Herron, no one existed that could move that fast until recently.
Right.
No one existed in the UFC. Like, within the last 5-6 years, you started to see these guys trickle in that have that kind of explosion, have that kind of athleticism, that kind of speed. And Hector is right up there. Hector, it's like Hector and Tyron. So it's like, as someone who analyzes fights and analyzes, like, there's a point of diminishing returns. Like, what's the best body type? Is it super muscular like Hector Lombard, or is it like a Carlos Condit guy that's super durable and can last round after round? You know, in the Woodley fight we saw, Woodley won. I mean, he fucked up Tyron's knee. It's a but look,
it wasn't really a fight. His leg fell off.
His leg got hurt in the takedown, and then he hurt it again when he leg kicked him.
Yes,
it's not the same as him beating him like with no injuries, but
The bottom line is he wins. He wins. You know, I mean, you can't really, you know what I mean? Like, you can't quantify it the same way as a knockout or a submission.
It's similar to Kane versus Brock Lesnar. One guy's just swole to the gills. The other guy, if you saw him with a shirt off, you're like, there's no way you're the best.
Except the fact that, you know, Woodley was still there in the second round. You know, and he's still going at it in the second round. You know, and that's
there's a balance. Like, too muscular has its liabilities, and it's like they had that debate about what's the perfect weight for the heavyweight, like a boxer. When you get to a certain weight, you start losing speed and power. Believe it or not. So is it 230? Is it 240? Is it 235? It depends on the body. You know, I think Bo Jackson.
I'll tell you what.
Remember Bo Jackson at 245? That freaky athlete. He would have been
ridiculous. Didn't even lift weights. You know,
no.
Yeah, ridiculous.
He would have been probably the optimal.
And you know what he does now? Bow hunts.
Yeah, he does. Yep.
That's his shit, man.
Talk to him about hunting for I don't know, about 2 hours.
Hold, did you when?
Hold,
when?
Hold. Did you saw Bo Jackson. That's what you talked about.
Uh huh.
Hunting.
And he talked about killing
raccoons.
That's
what he wants to talk about.
Yeah,
about.
Yeah.
Like, he's obsessed with it.
Oh, by the way, we talked about football and baseball too.
You better have.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah,
Auburn football. You know what he Heisman
said about,
winner.
You know what he said about football? He said. Well, I never lifted weights when I played football. He was about 6'2", 245 then. And I said, what?
Did
I just, he goes. I just strapped it on, and I just go in there, and I'd hear them whispering, "Bo's in the game, Bo's in the game," and he would just run through dudes. And he said baseball was way harder. He thought of it as a very, very a cerebral game, way more so.
Here's Bo sure. hunting. Yeah. Here's Bo knows hunting. He's in a tree
now,
waiting.
Much like myself, Bo not only enjoys hunting big bucks, but he loves to shoot a few arrows in between.
Shoot a few
arrows? How bad are these narrators in these fucking hunting shows?
Can we get better production?
No.
Value?
No. They get $1 an episode. Put it together with you. You got to pay for your own flight on Southwest.
Yep.
You get out there, they're filming the shit with fucking handy cams. Oh my God, fast forward to this so we don't have to hear it. Just get to the part where Bo shoots it. Here he is.
Wonder if he can pull back on 90-pound Bo.
He probably doesn't even feel it. He's moving nice and slow,
too. Straight up killer. Look at Bo.
Yeah, that's a light Bo because he's pulling it back nice and slow.
That deer's about an inch high. Oh, he's in a tree.
That deer's right. Boom.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, I got an idea. Next time we bring Bo Jackson up, let's show some highlights of him destroying guys on the football field.
Well, that's what he likes now. He likes doing that.
Well, I don't like Bo Jackson anymore.
Because Bo Jackson hunts?
Bo Jackson's super boring?
You know
that?
What I find is fascinating? Herschel motherfucking Walker, almost 50.
He is 50. Still jacked.
Is he 51? Yeah. Well, he had his last fight when he was like 49.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Insane.
And by the way, take a look at his body.
Ah, insane. Thanks, man. There Shredded. He is against the Broncos doing work.
Shredded.
You don't want to see him sitting in a tree?
He's a super athlete.
shooting a deer with a
Herschel Walker's ridiculous. Yeah, yes. Super if athlete. He started when he was young, we'd all be in trouble.
No shit, right?
He'd rip people's faces off.
Yes. Who's that?
Herschel Walker. It's incredible that he had MMA fights in Strikeforce deep into his 40s.
So crazy.
See if you can pull up a Herschel Walker MMA
let's
fight.
Let's not get crazy.
Look at that. Look at that.
Oh, my 48. God.
Let's not get
crazy. Oh, my God.
He's shredded, but he's fighting Billy from Kinko's, who
That's
barely
great.
Made it to the arena and tossed on a mouthpiece and whooped his ass.
Yeah, but still, he's
he
48.
Wasn't fighting top-notch guys.
Didn't he fight Chad Griggs? Who did Herschel Walker fight?
Did he fight?
Are you gonna?
I mean, are you saying Chad Griggs is world class right now?
No, that's not what I'm saying. He's a very good fighter,
legit
though.
Fighter.
Chad Griggs is legit. Don't you shit on him, you son of a bitch.
I'm not shitting on anybody.
Who's he fighting here? Someone with a pretty good guard, man. Oh yeah, that was the. Damn, he was big. 48 years old here
just
and completely shredded. Just there's a difference in athleticism, man, when you get to this level. When you get to like a Herschel Walker, you're dealing
world
with like a one
speed.
In 100
First
million.
First of all, and I talk about this in jiu-jitsu. There's black belts, and then there's the 1% black belts.
Yeah.
Who, exactly. Like Bushesha, Hodger,
Hickson.
Yes, those guys. So he was to make it to the NFL, you're the 1% of all football players. He was the 1% of 1%ers in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Insane. And 1% of 1%ers and all time.
And right now we're watching him on Strikeforce beat up some poor white guy.
And he's almost 50.
He has no business being in there.
Scott Carson and Greg Nagy are the guys that he fought. Man. He never fought Chad Griggs. So my apologies
to Mr.
Griggs.
Calm down, you over there.
I'm just saying. Yeah, I'd take Brian or you. I'd take you, Jonah.
Didn't you fight like some guys that maybe didn't have the... He's 52.
Yeah, 52.
No, he is a monster. Don't get me wrong.
Still looks great.
Yes.
It's phenomenal. Crazy.
I would take his body over mine right now.
Exercise is a religion to him.
TRT?
He doesn't take that.
You sure?
I would be very surprised.
He also says that he only eats a bowl of soup and a salad at dinner. That's all he eats.
Well, but he eats other stuff.
Oh, and that's not what he says.
Exercise has always been a religion to him. Like,
well, he also had like an issue, a trauma-related issue with like multiple personality disorder.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he had something that was going on.
I heard about this.
Yeah, it was going on before he had an MMA career. And everybody was like, wait a minute. If he's had a trauma-related multiple personality disorder. Here, I'll pull that up. Yeah. Yeah, multiple personality disorder. Yeah.
And they started fighting. He said, you know what? I'm bipolar. Let's take punches to the face.
Yeah, CNN, way back in, when was this article out? In 2008, he put out a book about it. And it was a book about his multiple personalities. And they believe that, I believe it's trauma related. I should probably Google that too. I don't think that, I mean.
I'll be honest, since I've started fighting, I'm a little more serious, little quicker trigger for sure. If something's getting on my nerves or I'm with someone, they're doing something, I used to be super more laid back, I'd say.
Okay, it says usually has its roots in childhood trauma. Okay, so that might not mean head injury. It might mean like abuse.
Yeah.
Cope with trauma or abuse. I don't know. And also, it has to do with PTSD. So I guess it is talking about abuse, about
trauma,
not physical, not like head
being treated.
But I mean, just think about the amount of head trauma that you have to get playing football at a high level. It's unavoidable. Crazy. There's no right. You did it. It's unavoidable.
For sure. Unavoidable. It's practice. It's the practice that does it.
How many times do you think you got concussions while playing football?
I don't know, 5 or 6. Not that many. I was smart about it.
You were aware of the.
It's
kind of
crazy that 5 or 6 is like a low end for.
Yeah,
that's nuts. Say five,
and I played fullback, H-back, where if you guys know the position,
right.
You're constantly running 5 yards. It's ridiculous now I think about it. 5 yards apart, you run as fast as you can into that guy with your head first.
Oh my God.
That's what I was doing nonstop.
Jesus Christ.
That's crazy.
Again, why wouldn't someone sit me down and be like, Brendan, listen, man, I don't think it's beneficial for your life into that guy.
But meanwhile, you had success at that. That led you to success in MMA.
For college, yeah.
Well, I said to him, I asked him if he would have traded his football career in for training in MMA, and he said no. Because it taught you.
No, not back then. There's just the competition level wasn't high.
No, I'm saying it taught you to you for learned sure. How to be a
competitor. It gave you something.
I was training with killers. You know, you're talking about some of the very best athletes in the world, day in day out competing, weight room competing, on the field competing. So I just learned, you know, mental toughness. You can't pay for that.
Yeah.
There, at the time in 2001, 2000, there wasn't that in MMA. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wow. Fun times, boys. This is a fun fucking podcast. And 3 hours just flew
do
by.
It. Flew by. So I just peed my pants.
We should analyze the UFCs.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do some post-UFC podcasts.
Great.
We'll do that. Let's meet in a couple weeks after Jon Jones fights Glover.
Okay.
April.
You
want to
do that?
April,
not this weekend coming up, but the weekend after that.
I'm down.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do a post-UFC wrap-up.
All right.
We'll sit down and discuss it and talk about the undercard and all the shit that's coming up.
Let's do it.
And how Floyd Mayweather would get tapped out by Ronda Rousey.
There you go.
We didn't even talk about that.
We didn't even get into that.
How much time we have left? How many minutes?
We can talk about it for a couple.
How much minutes we have left?
5.
We have 5 minutes?
We can do this.
Total.
Yeah, there was a...
It's not even a comparison.
No.
It's not even a fight.
If he learned how to have takedown defense, he would have to work on that for a long time. But the people online are freaking out. I was
about
on
what?
Sports Nation today.
Great
and
show.
And they asked me. Great show. Max Kellerman is fucking awesome. I love
Smart
that guy.
Smart guy, right?
He's such a good...
Knows his
he's the best boxing
do you know he used to be
ever.
A rapper?
Yeah. Him and his brother, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, his brother was murdered by a boxer that they were that he was a roommate with.
Oh, what?
Wow. Yeah, it's a terrible story. Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's the guy killed him with like a hammer.
Ugh.
Yeah.
What a bummer.
Yeah, it's I don't know the full story. I read it online. Jesus. Sorry.
Wow.
But
back to Ronda destroying Floyd Mayweather. That would 100% happen.
It's again like we were talking about. Like, I can't play tennis. I don't know how to play tennis. If I play tennis with someone who knows what they're doing, I'm going to get slaughtered.
Right.
If you don't know judo, and if you don't know how to grapple, and you don't know takedown defense, and you let that girl clinch with you, you're going flying.
Dude, I've seen Ronda get a hold of MMA professional men, 215, 220 pounds, tosses them. These guys have a clue of what they're doing. Little lone, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Floyd Mayweather, who has no clue, and he's tiny.
Yeah.
He's tiny.
Yeah, and she's a 150-pound woman, or 145-pound woman.
Yeah. Well, she walks...
135 when she fights.
She walks at heavier than 140, too. She walks at
150. And she never gets out of shape. She's just shredded
just
all the
big.
Time.
Yeah. She's
you should see her mom. Her mom's on a... You know, she's on the keyboard all day. Jacked abs. Forearms shredded. Just...
Her mom's a world champion in judo, man. Yeah,
that's no
some
joke.
DNA.
That's no joke.
That's also some DNA, just like we were talking about those mice. That shit gets transferred.
But it only got transferred to her because her sisters, they're successful in their arenas, but they're not successful like Ronda in combat sports.
Well, maybe they have that inside them. They just chose not to pursue it for whatever reason.
True.
I mean, some people, they get weird shit where they don't want to do what their parents did, and they get fucking...
But you know what's weird? Like, we talk about genes. How about Arnold Schwarzenegger's kids?
What do they look like?
Shit. They're all skinny.
His daughter's cute.
They're all super skinny. But you think Arnold Schwarzenegger, you think they're going to be jacked.
Why aren't you doing squats? You're not doing anything with your glutes, your hamstrings. Your back is very narrow. If you want women to be sexually attracted to you, you want to come inside them. You got to lift your body. It's going to be strong. You lift weights. You got to run. You got to do steroids. Is that his daughter?
His daughter's cute.
Oh, she's a cutie pie.
Yeah.
Look, try and find the sons. I think they're actors. I'll tell you the
Let's
one.
Let's not shame these poor boys on the podcast.
I'll tell you the one
Let's
who
leave
got
it on a positive
I'll
note. The girl's attractive.
The girl's attractive.
I hope he's a great
the
dad.
The one, the kid who he had with the maid, the little Mexican
looks
dude.
Looks just like him.
Jacked.
Yeah.
Little dude has, he got the good genes.
He looks like Conan.
He's a good combination, Austrian and Mexican genes.
Survivor.
Good genes.
Yeah, don't. What did I say? The fuck, man.
Anyway, hey,
I'm sure these kids are talented. For the record, I'm sure the kids
are
super talented.
We don't have to shame his fucking son because he's, you know.
I'm sure he's super talented. I'm just saying he's not going to win Mr. Olympia. That's all I'm saying. Is that fair?
Well, maybe he would if he started lifting and taking steroids.
It takes a lot of time. And steroids.
Yeah.
Nobody's winning Mr. Olympia.
And jeans. You got to have some decent jeans.
I'm sure his jeans are okay, but he probably doesn't work out at all. I mean, if he's, you know.
He's pretty jacked.
I'll tell you what, the little Mexican guy is going to be your next Olympian. I mean, he is jacked.
He probably doesn't get a chance to hang out with his real dad very much either, and that's
so
probably
got
to be a bit of
time.
A mind fuck.
And he's in the weight room
angry,
all the time.
Doing deadlifts, you know?
Anger can go a long way.
Kettlebell. I wonder if he makes those noises
that's
when no one's
Arnold.
Around.
That's a good Arnold impression.
You go to lift. Pumping is better than coming.
You ever hear that from Pumping Iron? Where he's
the
like,
pump
pumping is better than coming.
I love that movie.
The Fighter and the Kid. Where can people get it?
iTunes, SoundCloud, Fox Sports 1.
Website?
We don't have
a website.
We need a website because when now that we're on Fox
Sports
1.
Are you bitches living in?
I know. Now we do have a website, but now that we're on Fox 1 Sports, we...
Fox Sports 1,
Fox
for
Sports
sure,
1.
Get that right.
We do not.
But iTunes, though. You can find us on iTunes. Fighting the Kid. Follow Brian and I, at Brendan Schaub, at Brian Callen. We post all sorts of stuff.
And we do lots of videos on Instagram.
What's up with them censoring your podcast? That's whack as fuck. You know this is the internet.
I agree.
This is
because it's Fox. It's the big
producers.
So
look how much fun we had today.
Yeah.
Look how much fun you guys had being Buck Wild. Fox needs to just put a fucking warning on
Take
it.
The
warning.
Reins
this
off
podcast.
Us.
Exactly.
Take the reins off us.
Warning. You know, Brian and Brendan are fucking awesome.
They
That's
want
they
it to be
it.
On the internet, but they want it censored. That is so hilarious. It's like we want a rated X movie, but with no fucking.
Right.
It's dumb.
Right. We're bringing up a lot of these issues to them. And
they
we're
need
we're
to
having,
drop it.
We're having a serious talk with
Look,
them.
Look, I have real sponsors that are like real companies. You guys can have real sponsors too. You can swear. It's just words coming out of your mouth.
That's right.
You know, just don't show any pornography or anything really ridiculous.
I agree.
Come on, Fox.
Brian, don't wear those tight-ass jeans.
Yeah, don't
sponsors.
Show.
They got you going a little bit, didn't
don't
they?
Don't show Mr. Sharp your cock. Your cack.
My cack.
Get your dick out of
I
my face.
I did a girl from Boston one time and said, I like your cack.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Never
thanks,
happened.
Thanks to LegalZoom. Thanks for sponsoring the podcast. Go to LegalZoom.com and use the code word Rogan in the referral box for more savings. Thanks also to NatureBox. Go to naturebox.com/Rogan. That's naturebox.com/Rogan and save 50% off your first box. Thanks also to onnit.com. Go to O-N-N-I-T. Use the code word Rogan and save 10% off any and all supplements. We'll be back tomorrow with David Seaman, and I'll see you guys in Atlanta this weekend. Show sold out. Me and Joey Diaz, and we'll also be there for the Fox Night at the Fights, the UFC on Saturday night. Travis Brown versus Fabricio Verdum.
Oh, I want to see that.
Donald Cowboy Cerrone versus Edson Barbosa.
Cowboy.
Misha Tate and Liz Carmouche. We'll see you fucks tomorrow. Bye. Big kiss.